about.
Girls, your mother and I are getting divorced.
Don't cry. I know you're upset. I know you're confused. I don't know what your mother told you, but let me explain it from my side in terms you can understand.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Can I help you, officer? I know I wasn't speeding. As a rule, I like to take the speed limit, divide it in half, and add 5. That's my personal vehicular safety algorithm.
Doesn't speak English. You know the new law, Prop 7010, requires immigrants to carry their citizenship papers at all times. Can I see yours?
I'm not an immigrant. I was born here.
If you were born here, who won the WNBA championship last year?
The Phoenix Mercury?
No American would know that. You're coming with me.
I'm now.
People don't hang out anymore. I don't know. We've got to do something about that.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, we do have to do something about the fact that people aren't hanging out anymore, you guys.
I've said that for years.
Let's get right on that. Speaking of our boy Rodney, I'll post this in a few minutes when I get some time, but he was on the news last night.
Oh, yeah?
Talking about his friend of 45 years, David Bowie, and some of the pictures that they showed of those kids together back when they were both very young. It was quite a love story, those two. Rodney had passes to all the Bowie shows, and he went over to London at one point and hung out with David Bowie for like a month.
Oh, wow.
In the studio with him, everything, all the stories. I mean, it's just... I mean, Rodney's won't get the term, but he's a zealot. You know, he's been everywhere, mm-hmm. It seems like, in rock and roll in the last 50 years.
Didn't you say he was instrumental on bringing Bowie out to America? Like, he picked him up at the airport type of thing?
Yes, he convinced him to come to Los Angeles for the first time, picked him up at the airport, and then drove him all over town and took him to the whiskey and took him to all the clubs and things like that back then, introduced him to people. I mean, it was quite a history.
Do you think Bowie went to Penny Feathers?
I'm sure he did.
Wow.
I don't think I think if you're in Rodney's car or on the bus with Rodney, whatever right. he was doing back then, I think you got to go where Rodney goes. And if you've never seen pictures of Rodney, and again, we're talking about Rodney Bingenheimer, who does the Sunday Night Show here on K-Rock. His apartment is a museum. I mean, they ought to just, you know. God forbid, when Rodney goes, they ought to just seal it up, or make it available as a museum, as to tour and see the history of rock and roll in there. Because you just go around his room and there's pictures of him with, you know, just picture after picture on the wall, like wallpaper of him with everybody.
Oh, wow!
Here's Rodney with Elvis. Here's Rodney with Paul McCartney. Here's Rodney with Led Zeppelin. Here's Rodney with Elton John. You know, all these people back in the '60s, '70s, '80s, and beyond. And it's amazing. It's amazing the memorabilia that he has in that place. So anyway, I'll put the story up. You guys will want to see that, I think.
It's absolutely pretty
interesting. You listened to a lot of Bowie yesterday, Allie?
I did. I really did. I clicked on everything that people were posting. Conan O'Brien posted some of his memories throughout the years from when he came on the show, and some funny, funny stuff. And you just get to see his sense of humor. And I went back and watched the extras when he was on, and just hysterical.
So
hysterical.
Funny. Yeah, I thought, I don't know. I think this one's going to hurt for a while.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm saying. It's not like you quickly forget. It's some celebrities, you see that they die and you go, yeah, that's a shame. And then you move on with your life.
Yeah.
This one, you just feel like it's a loss to the world.
Yeah.
You know? But we got to move on, and we do have an all-new program for you today here on a Tuesday. I want to start with this story. This is from the Hindustan Times. You probably subscribe to that, Alex. You've probably seen this.
Yeah, it comes out on Tuesday.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one is in Mumbai, which, if I recall correctly, is the former Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred in a fish market there in the eastern suburbs last Wednesday night when Mr. Gopi Gawair allegedly, snatched a gold chain off a woman's neck and ran.
Oh.
The woman screamed. Residents gave chase. They were able to catch the man, pin him down, and call the police. Police patrol in the vicinity arrived and took charge of the man and took him to the hospital for x-rays when he denied that he had, in fact, stolen the chain.
Oh, dear.
And they said, bet you did. And he said, nah-ah. And they said, we'll see. So they x-rayed him, and the x-ray revealed that there was, in fact, a metallic object, the stolen chain, in his stomach, even though the 25-year-old man had denied it. So they waited a day and did another x-ray, and the chain was still there. So then they force-fed the man 48 bananas.
Oh.
They forced him to eat a banana and then another and then 10 more and then 20 more and then another 15, and he ate 48 bananas. Now, is there something about bananas that makes you poop, or is it any amount that volume of food, no matter what it is going to have repercussions on
yourself? Don't know. I just think of bananas for hangovers and potassium. If someone's going to poop, I'd give them coffee and some salad.
Yeah, I mean,
I
don't know.
Or am I just naming stuff that works for me? Not
I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know very much about this topic, about what is supposed to, what is designed for poop.
Yeah.
I've heard of, what's that cereal that has grain in it? Is it some sort of
like
cereal?
Whole grain cereal?
Yeah, something like, there's something you're supposed to eat that's supposed to help. But yeah, so 48 bananas. So now it's Friday, and he is escorted to the restroom by the policeman who filmed the chain. I guess they wanted to prove it in court if need be. They filmed the chain, and I love the way it's written in the Hindustan Times, slithering out of Mr. Gowar's system.
Oh, Bean.
Police then ordered the man himself to wash it with fennel and placed him under arrest. And he was produced before a magistrate on Friday and remanded to custody. So it did work. You'll be curious to know that the woman was delighted to hear that her chain had been recovered, but declined to accept it back.
I was going to say, there's no way she's taking that back, let alone wearing it.
She was just like, no, you know what? I was pretty bummed out about losing it and stuff, but I'm fine. I can do without. So there's no amount of cleaning then that makes that acceptable to put back on your neck, right?
No.
Apparently, it's not the first time Mumbai police have, as the article says, gone bananas to retrieve stolen goods swallowed by thieves. Last April, a thief named Anil Yadav was fed 5 dozen bananas and liquids in an unsuccessful attempt to retrieve a gold chain whose large pendant got stuck in the food pipe. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean in his throat going down?
You know what it means.
That doesn't mean in his throat going down. That means coming out. They couldn't get the pendant out.
Yes. Right?
Oh, dude. Dude.
Took a turn.
Didn't
take a turn.
I wish I'd read that earlier before I said it out loud. Yeah. That is no bueno. So anyway, so I learned a little bit something here today. If you're having a little trouble pooping, all you need is just 50 bananas and you'll be
That's it.
You'll be all set. Could you how many bananas could you eat before you threw up though? That's the thing.
I don't
that
know.
That
and the visual of force feeding bananas, like what is happening in Mumbai?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that could be very traumatic if they're literally holding you down, holding your mouth open, and forcing you to eat a banana. But I don't think I could eat, honestly. I think I would get sick after 5?
Yeah.
Imagine 40.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
All right, let's not do that. And let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What are we not going to eat anymore? Oreos.
Well.
Oh, no.
I mean, okay, I guess. The Powerball drawing is tomorrow night, and it is now at $1.4 billion with a B. And I was concerned because I thought, you know what? It's time for me to jump on board. I'm going to go out and get some tickets this week. How could I resist?
Right.
But I'm throwing my money away. I don't have a system. I don't have a plan. I'm just setting dollars on fire. And then I found out that Beer Mug knows how to win the Powerball. And I was like, in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, he's got some foolproof ways, right?
He's got a system, and clearly it's been working for him because he's still working here at 5 in the morning. So clearly he's won the Powerball a bunch of times. But look, if he's in, I'm in. So I want to find out more on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, former UFC champion Dominic Cruz on the program today. As you know, he's got the UFC Fight Night Boston coming up. He's trying to regain his belt against TJ Dillashaw. That should be a lot of fun to talk to him. It is Tuesday. That means the Bachelor Report. With Ralph and Petros Papadakis, Ralph not included. Of course, last night was another very dramatic episode of The Bachelor. It is back, so we'll talk about that. Kevin Amin listener, coming up in just a few minutes, wants advice from us on how to be a good father.
From
now,
us.
He's kind of the right place, because between all of us, Ali, Chip, me. We got Dave. We got Christine. How many kids so far?
We're at zero. We're holding at zero.
So Kevin, he's got kids, but he's not here today. He's still in Barcelona, coming back tomorrow. Looks like Ralph's got the HIV or something, so he's not here.
I think it's strep. Yeah.
Okay. All right. He would have been a good person maybe to give some advice.
Sure.
We do have Omar.
Oh, I don't know if Eugene needs that advice.
And I think we may have to turn it over to the Kevin to be listeners too, because nobody knows how to be a father going into having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something you learn along the way. And I think what he's hoping for is some good advice, maybe from us and from the Kevin to be listeners, on things he should be aware of, what he needs to know, how to get the job done right. Also, we'll tell you about an emotional support turkey on the program today, and we've got the great comedian and actor David Cross as well. I mentioned that Ralph is out. I think our little friend Brad Williams is here, and I think he'll be taking our first look at the Showbiz Beat coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Tuesday morning at the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, Brad Williams.
Good morning, Bean.
Happy New Year. We haven't seen you in a while, dude.
Yeah, right.
Brad's going to be filling in for Ralph today. Ralph had the strep throat and expects to be back tomorrow. And you have a very busy January going, because you've got – I can't believe you're already filming another one-hour comedy special. Wasn't your special just like 6 months ago?
I filmed it last October, so I've had a little more than a year to write a new hour of material. And I'm good, man. I got it. So I'm filming the new one this Saturday.
Saturday night at the Alex Theater in Glendale, is that right?
That is correct.
That's a big room.
That is a big room. That is 1,200 seats. So I would love to see a lot of Kevin and Bean fans there. Tickets available at alextheater.org. And fill it up, because here's the thing, is it's also my birthday tomorrow. So I'm not having a party or nothing. I'm having a big party with the entire theater.
Open bar?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he lied.
Whatever gets people in the door. Yeah, because 1,200 absolutely drunk people in an enclosed space is a great idea.
Works for foolishness.
This is true.
Let me ask you this question, and I mean no disrespect, although it's impossible to offend Brad when you're talking about being a dwarf or a midget or a little person or whatever.
Or
whatever
a speck or whatever the hell you call me.
Right, whatever is popular this week. Do people have trouble knowing how old you are because they are thrown off by your size?
I am not, because I travel and I drink, and you could tell. Like, I got some miles on this face.
Okay. So nobody looks at the little guy and goes, oh, he must be 20, because look how tidy he is.
No. There's five-year-olds that when they see me shopping in their section, they go, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, what apple juice did you drink? Because that is awful. But some of the women do have that problem where they – I mean, it's not really a problem, but they just look young forever. Like, it's like black don't crack, and I don't have a rhyme for midget, but okay.
Well, you need to work that up for your next comedy special.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
So what's the address for tickets if they want to come have a birthday weekend party with you and see a live comedy special this Saturday night?
Yeah, www.alextheater.org. The special will be on Showtime. It should be out in the summer. And yeah, come and party with me. And maybe you had an ex-girlfriend that, like, wronged you. And during my special, you want to yell out, you know, like, screw you, Candace. You know, that's going to be on air for everyone to see forever. So why wouldn't you do that? Please don't do that.
Yeah, you may regret asking people to yell out. All right, that sounds like fun. Let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday. What's happening? What's going on?
Well, listen, this is a fashion-forward city that we're living in, right? This Hollywood?
Sure.
Everyone's trying to keep up with the trends.
Uh-huh.
Allie, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Very fashionable hoodie.
It's a good-looking sweatsuit you're wearing, Allie. Thank you. Thank you, Brad.
That is from the Lonely Soap Operas collection, and it is good.
I'm not sure how it became about me, but let's move on.
Well, who wouldn't want to look like a drug dealer? That's what I'm trying to say. That's like the next trend coming down the pike. You know what I mean?
Oh, all right.
Drug dealer. And that's what this local store, Barabas, which is in Los Angeles, that's what they're counting on, is they're counting on people wanting to look like a drug dealer. They're selling a bunch of shirts that look like the shirts that El Chapo was wearing in his interview.
Oh, like shiny paisley shirts.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they say they're flying off the shelves.
Oh, dear.
Really?
Because people are coming in like, give me the El Chapo. Because when you think of a male sex symbol in this country, Channing Tatum? No. Ryan Gosling? How dare you? El Chapo!
Oh, dear.
which the El Chapo sounds like something you order at the Mexican whorehouse. Like, hey, man, I'll have the El Chapo. Oh.
Sounds like it would be costly, too, by the way.
By the way, Sean Penn, okay, is he the only guy that becomes more of an a-hole when he helps capture, when he inadvertently helps capture the most notorious criminal in the world?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's holding him up as a hero, that's for sure, though he did directly lead to the most wanted man in the world being captured. That's a really interesting point.
That's how much of an a-hole you are. You catch public enemy number one, they're like, still a dick.
That's right.
Like, I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks can run naked down the streets wielding two kittens, spinning them over his head that are both on fire, and everyone would look at him and be like, ha, that Tom Hanks, he's adorable. Look at him spinning those on fire kittens. That's talent right there. But, man, Sean Penn, you just, that's how much a-hole you've built up in the bank, that it's just still there.
It's weird because you're right. He's a great actor, multiple Oscar nominee.
Sure.
Has he won? Did he win an Oscar too? Do I remember that correctly?
Does anyone think so?
I know he's been nominated a bunch of times, and he really is a great actor, but I can't think of anybody who is a fan of his. You know what I mean? Like, nobody personally really like, oh, I'd love to hang out with Sean Penn. He seems like a humorless prick.
Yep.
And obviously he's had his problems in the past. It has been reported with the way he treats the ladies, and I think that was a ding on him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But can you – I mean, for a Hollywood multimillionaire superstar, Ali, can you think of very many people that you'd want to hang out with less than Sean Penn?
Bill Cosby.
All right, maybe Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That is a cocktail party in hell right there.
Christine, the research department, says he has won two Oscars already? Is that possible?
Did he win for I'm Sam?
She says he won for Mystic River and for Milk as well.
He didn't win for Mystic Pizza?
No, he didn't. I caught myself.
That's a shame.
Also nominated for the Woody Allen film Sweet and Lowdown and I Am Sam.
I loved I Am Sam, and people
really
make fun of that movie. I thought he was amazing in it.
People make fun of that movie all the time.
Yep, yeah. I don't get it. I thought he was brilliant in it.
Huh. But, Brad, you bring up a great point that as popular and as successful as he is at the movies, nobody likes him personally.
Like,
nobody would like to live next door to him. Nobody would want to go for a beer for him. He just seems like a humorless prick.
Unless you're an A-list Maxim top 10 actress. Apparently they like him.
Apparently so, yeah.
What the hell,
or
man?
Madonna.
What the hell? Charlie Sheen, he's back in the news. Thank God, right? I mean, aren't we all so thankful?
What's he up to?
He gave an interview with Dr. Oz and said that for the rest of his life, he is going to find the cure. He's going to dedicate himself to find the cure for HIV. Well, all right. Rest easy, people. You know what? Go out there. Don't use the condoms. Have as much unsafe sex as you want, because it's all right. Charlie Sheen has got your back. Sure, we've had the world's best doctors and pharmaceutical companies and Bono trying to cure this disease for the last 30 years. Don't worry. We got the warlock on it. It's happening.
Do you think what he means is I'm going to raise a bunch of money to throw at research?
I don't know if that's what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to get in the lab himself and take his own samples and put them in some beakers and Bunsen burners and get something together. I don't
know. He certainly seems disciplined enough for that kind of work.
Absolutely. And he also reveals in this interview that he wants to be a spokesman for the disease, and I believe the entire HIV/AIDS community at one point, I think you heard them yesterday, yell out all in sync, nope! Please no! And also said he had a dream at age 28 which predicted that he would get the disease. Listen, Charlie Sheen at age 28, predicting you're going to get AIDS, predicting you're going to get the HIV virus, not a far-off dream.
No,
not a far-off prediction.
Vegas, I think we all predicted that.
Yeah, Vegas had that at even odds. said that in the dream, he saw himself wandering around wearing a sign around his neck that just read AIDS. And I'm thinking,
wow.
I'm pretty sure that the women that you slept with after you got HIV would have really appreciated that sign. They would have really liked it.
Good point.
So maybe, put that on. Let's get to celebrity birthdays on this January 12th. Actress Christy Alley, 65 years old. Rush Limbaugh is 65. Then on the complete other side, Howard Stern is 62. They share a birthday. Who knew? Oliver Platt is 56. Rob Zombie, 51. Rage Against the Machine singer Zach De La Roca is 46. Naya Rivera is 29. Hi. Hi, Naya. Okay. And then former One Direction singer Zayn Malik is 23. I'm Brad Williams. Come see me this Saturday at the Alex Theater. And for today, I pitter-patter on the Showbiz Beat.
106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a pair of tickets for you to see the Clippers this weekend at Staples Center. We'll tell you how to win those in just a few minutes. And while you're thinking about it, go to KROQ.com to enter to win the Night Before contest. This is unbelievable, by the way. This is a trip to San Francisco on a very special weekend in February. You get to see Metallica along with Cage the Elephant at AT&T Park on the Saturday night. And then on the Sunday, you go see a football game at Levi's Stadium. What kind of football game could they be having in February?
That's right. A Super Bowl, Bean.
It's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, because I was going to say the 49ers certainly aren't playing.
No, they don't make it to October these days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Metallica Saturday night, the Super Bowl Sunday night, AT&T Park one night, Levi's Stadium the next night. How's that for an unbelievable weekend? I mean,
nice.
Crazy, right?
That's pretty
darn
good.
Go to KROQ.com for all the details and your chance to enter to win. That's the voice of our friend Brad Williams filling in for Ralph Garman. I'm glad you stuck around for this because this story was going around this week. Allie, you have some doubts as to whether this is real or not.
It can't be. Can't
be. If it's not real, how was the photo made? Because you can't fake a photograph.
Can't. That's a good point.
It's impossible. You're right. The software just doesn't exist.
Here's the story. There's not a lot of details, but maybe somebody listening knows something or has seen something similar to this. I'd be interested to hear from you. Nothing says emotional comfort quite like a live turkey. At least that's what one anxious airline passenger thought when taking a gobbler along on a flight as a therapy pet. Now, a few months ago, we did a phone topic of people who are scamming the system when it comes to therapy animals. Because we're at the point now, as I understand from being at Denny's a couple of weeks ago, when there were not one but two dogs in the restaurant. And I asked the waitress, and she said, we are legally not allowed to ask for any proof that the animal is a therapy animal. They don't have to have papers that they produce. They don't have to wear a vest. And in this case, this isn't what happened in the restaurant I was in. Both of the dogs were fine and well-behaved. But even if the dog is just running all over the restaurant, the person can still say, no, that's a therapy dog, even if it's obvious that the dog has never been trained.
And that's supposed to help their emotional support? What about all the other people in the diner that – What about their feelings? I mean,
yes.
They're already going to Denny's. They're already down their luck. Come on.
How dare you? This photo caption is, my neighbor is a flight attendant. He just posted this photo of somebody's therapy pet on his flight. Now, Allie, why don't you think this is real? Just because it's too absurd that somebody would get emotional support from a turkey?
No, I think people claim they can get emotional support from a turkey. I just can't see it on a plane. Granted, we've seen pictures of people with potbelly pigs being escorted off the plane, but the picture just doesn't look real. Nothing about this says real. How is a turkey, how do you train a turkey not to poop everywhere and do all that? But I guess you don't have to.
Well, here's the I mean, look, I'm glad you brought up potbelly pigs because that is like having a dog in terms of what you can train them to do. You don't have to worry about your potbelly pig, all right? But a turkey, you're right. You can't train them to, you can't potty train them. But in this photo, you can see the top of the turkey sitting in the seat. You can't see the bottom of the turkey. Maybe he's wearing a diaper.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's what you do when you travel with monkeys, for instance. You know, you put a diaper on them.
Can it just stop? The emotional support animal stop. Listen, I'm not talking about if you're blind and you have a seeing eye dog. That's obviously a dog that does something. Or maybe you're a soldier that has PTSD and you need something to calm that down. I'm not talking about that. But stop with the narcissism that just says that you are better than everyone else to where you can have your emotional support animal. Fine. If we all get to do this, I'm putting on a vest. I'm an emotional support dwarf. I'm flying for free. I make people calm. I'm a comedian. I can put you at ease. I can make jokes. Why can't I do that?
By the way, it is interesting in this photo, and it looks like the plane is either being loaded or unloaded because a lot of the seats are empty still in this photograph. But the turkey is on a seat, not in a crate, not under the seat, not on somebody's lap. Mm-hmm. It looks like in this photo that the turkey has its own seat. Is that possible that somebody would buy a seat for their turkey?
If I was on that flight, I would require an emotional support oven, an emotional support stuffing, gravy, cranberry sauce. Mm-hmm. That would be my emotional support group.
What about the noise that a turkey would make, by the way?
Yeah, I'm thinking they're not quiet.
Right. They're not quiet at all. I used to live next door to some, remember?
Yeah.
Definitely not quiet.
Yeah, you had that one killed.
Yeah, I didn't have it killed. Yeah, I just asked the neighbor to take care of it.
They took that as killing it.
Don't worry, I got it. I got it, Mr. Bean. I'll take care of it.
The article goes on, we can't imagine the turkey was very happy in this unnatural habitat. It most likely needed a diaper of some sort and probably wasn't the quietest of passengers as it soared through the sky to the envy of all the turkeys below. If you have a doctor's note stating that you need the turkey for emotional support to fly comfortably, the airline is unlikely to have a problem bringing it aboard. What? You just have to let the airline know 24 hours ahead of time. So apparently that is, at least according to this, that is airline policy too, is they let emotional support animals on, no matter what it is. I mean, could you bring a tarantula?
An alligator?
An alligator? I mean,
come on.
And how does one develop that kind of relationship sincerely with a turkey where it is your emotional support animal? I get with a dog or a cat or even a pig, something that you can, you know, cuddle with and develop a bond with and spend a lot of time with and play with and walk with and do those things. You don't get any of that back from a turkey.
Well, you just have to be living in the hills and be very lonely.
Oh.
That's all. That's how you develop that special relationship.
I don't think anybody
with
was
turkey.
Suggesting that at
no?
all, Brad.
No.
It wasn't turning no? creepy. Mm-mm. It was confusing, but no. It was not in any way creepy until you went there.
Wait, you mean I out-creeped Bean?
You sure did.
Wow, I think I need to be deported.
I think stop it. I think that's where we're at now, right? Coldplay on K-Rock, Foo Fighters coming up, also 21 Pilots and The Cure on the way here on a Tuesday morning. I got very concerned about our listener, Eugene, when I saw this email. Did you get this one, Ellie? Did he send it to you?
I have it now, but it wasn't sent to me because I would have just written back and said, hey, ask someone else.
Yeah, this is too much responsibility.
Yeah.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Eugene writes, I am about to become a father for the first time. And since I have looked to all of you as role models on how to be a man. Oh,
right.
No. And to do the Lord's work for almost the past 20 years, I thought it would be good to see if you guys could offer some advice on how to be a good father as well. Bean, you might not have a child, but I would appreciate any advice you might give regardless. Thank you for everything. That is from Eugene. Now, Eugene, I don't know what you were expecting when you wrote this, if you thought we'd write back or what, but we wanted to get you on the air and, first of all, talk you out of asking for our advice. Is there no role model in your life you can go to who would be better for this?
Well, I figure I've been listening to you guys for the past 20 years now, and I've learned so much from you, like how to support hot women, how to drive in the rain. Mm-hmm. So I figure why not go for this as well?
All right, let's learn a little bit about your circumstances, Eugene. How old a guy are you?
I'm 39.
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing for work these days?
I'm a software engineer.
Okay. And tell me about the young lady in your life.
Well, my wife, Candace, we've been married now for about 3 or 4 years, and this is her first kid, too, so we're both pretty excited.
Did you – was this a planned pregnancy? You guys had the intention of getting pregnant and having a baby?
It wasn't like it was not planned.
So just say no.
You know what I mean?
No, I know what he's saying. You're like, hey, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's, you know, you weren't on any kind of a timetable.
No, not really. It was more like, you know, we'll do what we're going to do.
Okay. Right. All right. And when you got the news that your wife was pregnant, you guys were over the moon about it?
Yeah, it's actually been a real busy year. We the day we found out that we were pregnant was also the day we actually we signed escrow papers in a new house. So that was quite a day.
Oh, wow.
Our Eugene is growing up, you guys.
Yeah, he is.
All right. Here's the one thing that I know, and you're right to mention that I don't have a kid. So, you know, to take anything that I say with a grain of salt because I haven't personally lived through it. But I, you know, certainly have been around plenty of people, plenty of kids. Here's the one thing I'll tell you.
And, when and if have Kevin you been were, around right? plenty of kids?
Hi, Omar. How are you?
I don't see you hanging out with a bunch of toddlers ever.
I don't count, Bean.
If Kevin were here, he would say this as well, is that nobody knows how to be a parent until they've had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You think, in your mind, you think, wow, how did my mom and dad do it? They were so smart and they totally knew what to do. They were winging it 100%. They had no idea what they were doing. It's only in retrospect that it seems like they knew what they were doing because they managed to shepherd you through becoming, you know,
now we know
from being
that
a kid all
parents
the way to being an adult.
Morons.
Yeah, well, Kevin point blank said to his mom, how did you know how to do this? She's like, I didn't.
Yeah.
So it's just this big facade that everybody puts on, and it's good to know that going in.
It is good to know that going in because all these people that you look around and you go, man, they have really got it together, those parents. They don't. They really are just as terrified as everybody else who's never had a kid before.
I have it together.
Oh,
so,
that's those other people.
I want to hear from you in a second, Omar. So I guess what I'm saying, Eugene, just to kind of start the conversation, and by the way, we want to open this one up to the Kevin and Bean listeners. Here's the question. What advice what do you wish you had known about being a parent before you became a parent? What's the trick or the tip or the suggestion or the idea that really it took you living through it before you understood what you were doing? And if somebody had come to you like we can come to Eugene now and tipped you off to some of that stuff ahead of time, it would have been hella helpful. That's what we're looking for. How to be a good father at 1-800-520-1067. What advice, having lived through it, having done it yourself, what advice do you have for our man Eugene?
Yeah, we want to be hella helpful.
Thank you. So Eugene, you take my first point, though, which is that I know you're nervous because it's a tremendous amount of responsibility, but every single person has been where you're at, and they were okay. So so don't panic is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I figure, I mean, I know that talking to a lot of guys, regardless of what, you know, the best laid plans are, whatever happens, happens, you just got to kind of roll with the punches.
Yeah, you gotta roll with it. You gotta use as much common sense as you can, and understand that you're not gonna have all the answers, and that it's the hardest job in the world, and you're gonna get through it. You just have to try real hard. All right, now let's go to Omar because he's the one guy who's here today. Ralph is out. Kevin is out. He's the one guy who's here today who's been in this spot. Now I remember when you came in and told us years ago that you guys were pregnant with your first child.
Yeah,
our reaction was no.
Yeah, big mistake, right?
Because. You know, you were one of those people who was young and did a lot of stuff. It seemed like you were really active and enjoyed your life. And you didn't seem like a likely natural candidate to, quote unquote, settle down and raise a baby.
You know, maybe that's
a surprise to us.
Maybe that's what people saw on the outside. But on the inside, you know, it definitely was time. Our kid was planned. We were trying. And we got pregnant, and you know, it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. And going into it, I am Mr. Prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my wife were together for like 12 years. I had to have all my ducks in a row mm-hmm. before we got married. So I thought I had everything down when it was time to have a kid. And Eugene, no matter how much you think you are prepared, you're just never really prepared. You can do a lot of research. I read books. And just know going in that you have to do a lot of drugs to get through it.
Oh,
so,
that's
Omar,
not,
no. No, we're trying to help Eugene here. Come
you
on.
Know, so if you have a hobby, pick up a hobby so you're not home as much.
Terrible advice.
Jeez.
What? It worked for me.
Okay, so Omar, words, all joking aside, though, and this is something that I have found with my friends that are able to be truthful about it. Sometimes it sucks, and sometimes you don't like them, and you all say, oh, it's the greatest thing I've ever done, but it's okay to also say, this blows, and I might have made a mistake.
No.
But you don't think.
Well, for me, it was never that, and I know parents that have felt that way. Mm-hmm. For me, fortunately, I've never felt that way. I've, gone through some, some times where it's tough, and I'm just like beating myself up about things mm-hmm. and stuff. And, you know, there's one time that I remember I was potty training my kid
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I got upset at her and I raised my voice, probably yelled. And I made her cry, and that was the worst feeling.
The worst feeling for
you. Yeah, for me, for sure. As far as getting frustrated with the child and stuff, maybe because I'm a little older, I'm 37, mm-hmm. I know how to step back, catch myself, and speak to the child.
Mm-hmm.
Children have an enormous understanding of things. Maybe they can't communicate, mm-hmm. but they will understand you. I think the parents that get frustrated and flip out don't step back. They mm-hmm. just kind of are in the moment. You mm-hmm. can't be kind of in the moment. You have to be kind of above that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And kids are little sponges. They take all of that in.
Everything out. And whatever you do, be sure that your kid's going to regurgitate that. So try to be as positive as you can. Mm-hmm. If you and your wife have issues, take it into the other room. If you can, and if you can't because you're watching your child, wait till the next day to discuss.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Hey, Eugene, let's take a call, if you don't mind. It's going to be from
Diego. Drugs, man, drugs.
No drugs. No, sure. No drugs. Trying to help you. Diego's in Pomona. He's on line one. Let's get to him and find out. I love that this is the first call that came in when Lister Eugene asked for advice on how to be a father. Diego, go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
No one ever talks about it, ever, because babies are so cute and so soft and precious.
And they smell so good.
No, they don't.
Oh.
No, they don't.
Uh-oh.
There's so much poop.
Oh.
So much poop that they don't prepare you for it. There's going to be poop flying at you. There's going to be poop on your clothes.
Holy crap.
There's going to be poop everywhere.
Like projectile poop all the time.
Yes, I had a hose, like water projectile poop, fly at me when my child was about 2 months old.
Wow, that's awesome.
Changing the diaper, yeah.
I didn't have that.
How is it, by the way, that a tiny little baby that weighs like 25 pounds can poop his body weight? Like, how do they generate so much poop?
They poop all the time.
It's not just the poop, it's the storage of the diapers. You have to have the right way to make sure you're always keeping it outside, because if not, your room becomes a landfill.
That is
so much poop for Diego. That's his advice.
Yeah,
no
the,
going in.
The
how much
first
poop.
Year? It's like 15 diapers a day
or more.
My God,
why do they poop so much? Are they just physically not able to? It just goes straight through them. Like
you know,
it doesn't store up at all.
In the first year of life, they're just constantly eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then they're growing. They grow so much in the first year. So I think it's just that's how their body works.
Yeah, they have a small stomach or something, I think.
That makes sense. All right, Diego, great call, sir. Thank you for getting us started. We appreciate it. So, Eugene, you're prepared for that? You know it's going to be nonstop poop for 5 years?
I'm running the Costco for baby wipes.
Okay, good advice. All right, 1-800-520-1067. By the way, if you have other tips on how to be a father for Eugene, you can also text us at the number 2KROQ. That's 25767. But we will include some more of your calls when we return right after this on KROQ. Stand-up comedian, Emmy Award-winning writer and actor David Cross joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. One of the funniest guys in the world. Very excited to catch up with him. Right now, though, we're helping out Kevin DeBeach Lister Eugene, who is getting ready to – well, I forgot to ask. When's the baby due? When are you guys having the kid?
We're doing a couple of months now.
Wow. It's getting close.
A couple.
Yeah.
Courtney writes in, my number one piece of advice would be never ask Kevin and Bean how to raise a child.
Great point, Courtney.
And I'm sure you thought about that, but we are taking some calls for Eugene. It's his and his wife's first child. He has no idea what's about to hit him, so we're looking for some advice that will help him, some things that you found out along the way, things you wish you'd known before the kid was born. Let's go to Henry in Torrance. He's on line six, please. He'll get us going if you want to call 1-800-520-106, and we'll get in as many tips as we can here. All right, Henry, you're up next, sir. What's going on?
Morning, people. Hey, just wanted to give them a little bit of advice, not so much for the newborn. That goes kind of quick. But when they get older, never bluff your kid, man. All I'm saying is when you say you're going to do something, do it. The thing is, I've known a lot of parents that sit there and just yell at their kids and don't do anything about it, and the kid turns into a terror. My kids, they know that if I say something, it's happening. So
in other words, be careful about what you say. Make sure you don't threaten something in anger that it turns out to be an empty threat, because then they realize they don't have to believe anything you say.
or just that you're not going to follow through. That is that as well. I mean, you say, you know what, I'm going to take away your PlayStation or something, and you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
My kids all know it's going to happen.
And then they go, Daddy's a liar.
Yeah. Well, they just go, oh, well, let's see how far I can push.
Yeah.
All right, Henry, that's great advice, man. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Valencia Line 5. This is going to be Adrian up next. Adrian, how to be a father. What's the one piece of advice you would offer Eugene?
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Great.
All right. So basically, I was talking to my wife the other day about how we don't agree on anything. So basically, you really have to get with your wife and see how she wants to do things, see what works. Also, work on yourself before the baby comes. If you have any issues, if you're overweight, anything really going on in your life that you feel like you need to improve, definitely work on those things.
Wait, so fat people can't have kids now?
They can, but they will have a tough time following their children when they're running around and you're at, you know, let's say a little toddler party and you're
going that's why you tie a leash around them. Boom, you're all good.
Omar, let me ask you this question because I think Adrian brings up an interesting point. There are as many ways to raise a child, it seems like, as there are people in the world.
Absolutely.
How do you and your wife handle it when you strongly believe A is the way to go and she strongly believes B is the way to go?
You know, I'm fortunately in a really good relationship where we talk and we get along and we compromise. You know, we never think that one way or the other is 100%. We know that there are different ways to raise children, and we speak. We communicate, and that works.
But vaccinations are BS, right?
Oh, totally. Don't do that.
We've learned. All right. Thank you for the call, Adrian. I appreciate that. Let's go to line three, please. Newport Beach. This is going to be Ingrid. Hey, Ingrid, you're on with the Kevin and Bean Show and Eugene. What's your advice?
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. My advice is don't overcompensate and don't try to be their best friend.
Amen.
I went through a very unfortunate divorce, and we had Disneyland Dad, and then Mom scoops up stuff and tries to make it better and overcompensates, and you got to be their friend, and like the other caller said, you got to follow through. Be strict, but be loving. Don't overcompensate.
It's a fine line, isn't it, Ingrid? Because so many parents try to be the friend and try and understand and try and do all that, but then the kid doesn't have any sense of their parent being the actual parent. And that's
right. There are no boundaries.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
So is what you're talking about, Ingrid, just so help me understand here, is that you shouldn't worry that what you're saying will make you unpopular with your kid, because sometimes you have to tell them things and make them do things that they don't want to do. You can't worry about them liking you or being happy with you sometimes, right?
Sometimes, yes. Yes, you have you have to do it. You love them and you love them firmly.
Okay, great call. Thank you very much for that. Let's try what do you guys like here? Let's try Rob. He's in Seal Beach. He's on line 8. 1-800-520-1067. Looking for some tips for our man Eugene and his wife getting ready to have their first baby in a couple of months. Rob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
So my biggest piece of advice is kids are definitely like sponges. And if you're a neurotic spaz, your kids are going to be neurotic spazzes.
Yeah.
And I see it with my kids' friends all the time. I look at them. I'm like, you are a psycho. How did you become like that? And then I just look at their parents and I get it. So whatever you have to do right now to learn how to calm down, whether it's like drinking a lot of alcohol, whatever it is.
Omar agrees.
Good advice.
Learn how to do it now.
Yes.
Because whatever you have to do to stay calm when they fall or when they're driving you nuts, whatever you have to do, take a deep breath. Learn how to do that now because it'll pay dividends.
Yeah, and also kind of know going in that, you know what, you might be freaking out, especially with your first child, you will freak out. But it's going to be okay. You're going to get through it.
Absolutely. You'll be so fine. Everything's
children
fine.
Are going to be more – children are way more resilient than we are.
So are you need serenity. Fine. That's what you need is find some serenity in your life. All right, I have one more question for you guys, and that is, why is it that every parent thinks other kids are nightmares but their kids are angels? Because the kid that you say is an angel is the nightmare that the other parents are looking at as somebody's other kids. Like, why can't parents see their own kids?
Because I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. My kids are little angels.
Their kids are special little snowflakes, and nothing is wrong with their kid. Yeah, there's a lot wrong. Trust me, every single kid.
Hey, Eugene, one piece of advice. You know, it's a cliche that when, you know, they're small, the time goes so fast. My oldest is going to be 4, and it's just, it's true. The time goes by so fast. Even in the first couple of months, man, it goes by like a blink of an eye. Enjoy it. Do the, lay your baby bare-chested and enjoy that time and try to help out your wife as much as possible. The more you put into it is the more you're going to get out of it.
Omar.
Wow. Sensitive. Whoa. Omar, ladies and gentlemen.
And do a lot of drugs.
Omar.
Okay. All right. Eugene, did we help at all this morning?
This was great. Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Do you promise that you will get back in touch and share with us the big happy day when it arrives in a couple of months?
Yeah, it sounds like a good plan.
So you're keeping it?
Oh,
yes, they're keeping. Come on.
Man.
All right, Eugene. Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks a lot for reaching out. We'll talk again, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Later.
You bet. Bye-bye. Here's one more text on the topic, how to be a good father, helping out Kevin and Bean Lister, Eugene, from the 559. He or she writes, I don't have any kids, but I heard you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. So there's some good advice for you to take you to the night, right? David Cross joins us coming up just after 7. Speaking of comedians, our friend Brad Williams is here in for Ralph Garman today with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is out, a little sick. He'll be back tomorrow. Brad, Saturday night, Glendale Alex Theater.
That's right, and not just any show. No. My new one-hour Showtime comedy special is going to be taping. I would love to have you guys there. So head on over to the Alex Theater or go to alextheater.org, get your tickets, and I'll see you guys all at the show. You can come be a part of Showtime
history.
That's
going to be fun.
Yeah.
Your special last year was so great. We were so proud of you. That's the one you filmed up in Bakersfield, if I remember correctly, or Santa Barbara or something like that.
Santa Barbara, yeah.
And it was one of the highest rated comedy specials they ever had, right?
Yeah. Well, in terms of total ratings, because it just grew like a virus. Like the first airing was okay, and then people were like, oh, my God, turn into Showtime. There's a midget wearing a vest telling jokes. This is unbelievable.
The first one was called Fun Size. What's the new one going to be called?
We're debating on the name. I have a name in mind that the network does not like. So
okay.
They have some personal issues with it. And so I'm fighting them on it.
All right. Be there in person Saturday night. See Brad Williams film his new comedy special, alextheater.org. It's in Glendale. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. What's going on?
Well, obviously, I think we're all still recovering from the tragedy and the sad news that happened on Sunday night. And that's when The Martian was named Best Comedy at the Golden Globes. Come on! Best Comedy?
Well...
Best comedy!
You know, they didn't want to put it in the drama category. Too much competition.
Yeah, okay. So should the Lakers play in a rec league? So they should have no competition there?
Season, possibly.
They might not win, but they could play in the rec league.
That just angered me. So when that happened, I know Twitter exploded, but the big moment at the Golden Globes that really set Twitter ablaze was when... did you guys see when Lady Gaga bumped into Leo DiCaprio, and then Leo DiCaprio kind of turned and gave a little like, ugh.
Yeah.
It was
awesome.
It looked intentional. It looked like Lady Gaga was so committed to getting up to the stage, and she was very emotional and excited that she just won her first acting award, but it looked like she was just pushing everything out of the way that was in front of her, including Leo's chair.
Well, it's funny you say that, Bean, because according to Radar Online, it was intentional. And that Lady Gaga had overheard Leo DiCaprio talking some S about her earlier in the night because their tables were close by. And he was saying how, you know, like, why is she here? She's not a real actress.
Really?
And then Gaga heard that, walked up and gave a little wha-bam with the booty.
You guys believe that? Or does that sound like it's just
not even a little bit?
Does Leonardo DiCaprio strike you as the kind of guy who would be S-talking Lady Gaga?
And does he even have to worry about her existence? No.
Right. I don't think so. And in terms of his reaction when she bumped into him, I think Leo DiCaprio is just surprised when anything that's not a Victoria's Secret bottle bumps into him.
He's never been that close to a woman who's over 25 before.
Yeah, it's like, what is this? This is curious to me.
She looks so different from what I'm used to.
I don't know. I mean, you can read words.
What?
you have independent thought and intelligence, and you do more than just stand there and look pretty. What is this world we're living in?
You're not even in a bikini. Why are you here?
You know what? When you think of classic rap feuds, what do you think of? You think of Biggie and Tupac?
Sure.
That's the OG, right?
Yeah. And then maybe more recently, you have the Drake and the Meek Mill.
Right.
Right? Well, I think we got the next big hip-hop feud coming right now. Nicki Minaj and Farrah Abraham. Oh, yeah. It's on.
The backdoor team mom?
Yeah. It's on. Oh, this is juicy stuff. Apparently, Nicki recently tweeted at Farrah, saying that she was insulting Farrah because Farrah was apparently nasty to Nicki Minaj's mother at some event. Which, by the way, aren't you sad that you weren't at that event? If that's the clientele. Come to this outing. We got Nicki Minaj's mom and Farrah Abraham. Tickets flying off the shelves. What event was that? Like,
just I can't imagine.
Refilling at a gas station pump? Like, what? Like, I don't understand. But apparently she said something nasty, so Nicki tweeted at Farrah. And now Farrah responded saying that that Nicki Minaj's videos look like porn and that Nicki should stop watching reruns and go to church.
Yeah, I think Nicki was talking to her because she was watching Teen Mom reruns and saying mm-hmm. that she was rude to her mom on the show.
Oh!
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
It's way too early, so I just glance over stuff.
Well, Nicki does love her feuds. You know, she famously had a feud with Taylor, and then she had a feud with Miley, and now it sounds like Farrah. I mean, maybe she just gets off on it. Maybe she just enjoys just the publicity that is surrounding something like this.
But, like, okay, you just said she had feuds with Taylor and Miley Cyrus. Are you done feuding with absolutely everyone in Hollywood where you're like, who's left? Farrah Abraham?
Yeah, it does seem pretty low on the totem pole for her to be involved in. Yeah.
Maybe, like, step your game up, all right? Maybe go after Rihanna or something like that. I don't know. Somebody else. That's fine. Celebrity birthdays. Let's get to them. Christy Alley is 65 today. Rush Limbaugh is also 65. They would make an adorable couple. Come on. Fingers crossed. Howard Stern, 62. Hey now. Baba Booey. Oliver Platt is 56. Rob Zombie is 51. Rage Against the Machine, Zach De La Roca is 46 years old. Naya Rivera is 29. And the big one that everyone's talking about, former One Direction singer Zayn Malik is 23. That's the one Bean likes the most. I'm Brad Williams. Come see me January 16th at the Alex Era Film, my new Showtime special, and I pitter-patter on the Showbiz Beat.
Cut me farther than I've ever been.
All right, let's guess, Allie. Was David Cross waiting on hold singing along with that 21 Pilots song or not?
I'm going no.
You say no?
No.
I think he enjoyed it. I think he was surprised mm-hmm. by how much he enjoyed it, but he wasn't sure of the words, so he hummed it. Let's find out who's right as the great David Cross returns to the Kevin and Bean Show after too long an absence. Hey, Mr. Cross, welcome back, sir.
Hey, guys. Hang on. I'm just Googling the lyrics to that song and the arrangement. I wanted to get the arrangements, too. And when I hum a song, I usually ask a couple people in to come in and study it and take the lows and the highs. Ooh. So I can have the middle and just nail
it. You take it seriously, it like you should, man. You don't half-ass it. I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. That's how I approach everything.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are things over there? Your neck of the woods.
Everything's fine. We miss your wife. We haven't seen her in a while, and you know she's a longtime favorite of the show. You guys doing all right?
Yeah. She just got back. She was in L.A. Shooting a movie with Bob Odenkirk, and she just got back last night. Yeah.
That hack. She's
you
working
can't
with that hack.
Shake that guy.
Yeah.
He's just trying to take over your whole career, man.
It's you know, it was a payoff on a bet from a long time ago. He just wanted to figure out a way to kiss her, and then he, I was like, look, man, go back in time and write a movie, you know, that you can do that in. And this is before we even met, so.
Oh.
I was very much pulling for him at the Golden Globes the other night. I'm sad that he didn't win, but my God, what a career.
Me too. I told him a couple weeks ago, we were talking about this other project, and I said, and I truly meant it, I was like, I predict you're going to win the Golden Globe. I mean, not only just because he deserves it, but, you know, they like to be on the at the forefront,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to
uh-huh.
start winning Emmys, and as well he should. But, yeah, I was really hoping and thinking that he would win.
Well,
it.
I mean, he's such – and look, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about Bob, but he's such a revelation on that show. We knew how great he was on, you know, Breaking Bad, but then the depth to that character and the way he plays it and the whole arc and everything like that, he was just so genius. It was almost like we were seeing a whole nother level to his acting. You know what I mean? I think he's just amazing.
And you are, yeah. You know, he was – you know, he rose to the occasion of stepping up, you know, to what they were writing. Yeah.
So let's talk about what's new in David Cross's world, and that's a lot right now. Let's start with the tour, because I'm really fascinated with this. David Cross, Making America Great Again, whoever heard that name before, is the return to stand-up after how long, David?
6 years since I've toured. I mean, I've been doing stand-up here and there.
Drop-ins, yeah.
In the yeah, exactly, like friend shows and benefits and you know, music festival things and stuff like that. And so I've been consistently doing it, but I haven't put an hour together in 6 years and gone out on the road. So that's what I've been working on. I had the reason it came about was I had shoulder surgery, and it, you know, it's a pretty intense recovery time. And I knew that I couldn't take other work. And, you know, my arm was in a sling for a month and a half, and then you can't really use it for another month or so. And it kept me in one place, too, New York. So I figured, all right, well, what better time to just get all my material, cull it, start working on it, figure out the hour, and then go out.
Is so that terrifying at all?
The going out on tour?
Just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be up there for an hour as opposed to, you know, doing a benefit every now and then, doing drop-ins every now and then, a consistent hour.
Well, yes, it was last night I did my first warm-up, whatever you want to call it, where I did my first hour and change. And really it's about the sequencing. It's about two things. Do I have enough time? Like I was very nervous and apprehensive that all the stuff that I listed and the set that I thought it would work this certain way, that I was going to get off stage and then, you know, I was going to look and it was like, oh, 42 minutes. oh, no, you know, but I had plenty of time. I tend to, you know, riff a lot within the bit. So I had plenty of time but up until that moment, up until, you know, 5 minutes into that hour set, it was a surprise drop-in set. You know, it was all cleared and everything, and it was. I was pretty apprehensive. I wasn't sleeping that great, and I was really a little nervous because, you know, my first show is in, I think, a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah, the 27th.
You know, if it's not ready, then I'm really screwed. But it was fine. It was all good, and I've got some more hour warm-ups coming. You know, within the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I feel a lot better today. But the last 4 days, I couldn't concentrate on anything else. I tried to just read a book or watch something, and I just was preoccupied with, what if I made a terrible mistake? Oh, my God, what if I'm not funny anymore? What if I only have 30 minutes? What if they get blew me up the scene? You know, all that kind of stuff. That even
well, you are famous for your poor decisions, so maybe this was just another one. David, here's
nice.
And here's how bad I am. I'm still not going to pivot to talking about the TV show because I have more stand-up questions. So I've just wasted that excellent transition. Here's the question that I have for you, and I know this is stupid. But in my mind, guys do stand up, and then they become big TV and movie stars, and then they don't do stand up anymore. But increasingly, I see so many people like you and like Judd Apatow and like others who can't give it up. Like there's something about being on the stage, even though you don't have to be, that you can't not do. And I'm trying to understand what is the rush? What is the thrill? Why go back to it when you don't have to?
Well, I can't speak for anyone else, but speaking for myself, it's a couple things. One is, this is how I started. I started by doing stand-up when I was a teenager still, and I that was the thing that drew me to this part of to this life that I now have. And it was always stand-up, and it was the thing that I could most easily do when I was 17, 18. I couldn't write a script and shoot it. I couldn't create a TV show, but I could do stand-up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a long process. So, I mean, in part, that it's really part of who I am and is kind of the first foray into this world of expressing myself through humor. And then the other aspect to it is there's just no replacement. You can do all these other things. You can write movies, act in them, direct in them, create TV shows, write a book. You can do all those things, but it does not remotely come close to the feeling and just the hour you're creating. When you go out on stage, it's just you and a microphone and, you know, 2,500 people in a room. You just can't replicate that in any other way. And you miss it. You begin to miss it. I remember at the end of the last tour, and I sincerely, genuinely meant it, at the last show, I swore, I promised, it wasn't going to be another 5 years. This is such a great time. I love everybody. Y'all are great. What a great tour this has been. I will see you in a couple years. And then, you know, you just busy with life and other things. And it took, you know, it took a surgery and my arm, you know, incapacitated for 3 months to get me to go, oh, this is what I'll do. Great, you know.
That's why I shot you from that high rise, because I wanted to put you down so that you were forced to do this. We're talking to a comedian, David Cross, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Making America Great Again. By the way, the local dates, if they're not sold out, check it out. January 27th in Claremont at the Bridges Auditorium. That's at Pomona College. And then on Friday, January 29th at the Theater at the Ace Hotel. Tickets are online right now at DavidCrossTour2016.com. We're almost out of time, David. I hate this, but I do want to get in a plug for Todd Margaret because it is back. You returned last Thursday night on IFC, another new episode tomorrow night, or Thursday night, rather. This was, talk about surprises. No one was more surprised than you that Todd Margaret is back on the air.
Yeah, I mean, when IFC approached me years later, several years later after it finished, about doing it, I was pretty adamant, and, you know, the world blows up. It was never, ever, ever, ever meant to be anything past the first two series.
Yeah, you did everything you could do to make sure it was impossible to bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, that was the story we wanted to tell, and we told it, and that was it. Was never meant to be anything more. And then one of the other writers came up with the idea that we eventually did, and it was such a good idea. I mean, I remember reading it going, oh, man, now I have to do it. It's such a cool, interesting concept. I got to go back to London for another 8 months, and which I love, but you know it's tough to be uprooted for 8 months and not be home, and you know. But it's great. I'm really proud of it. I think it's really cool. And the way we did it, we aired the first three episodes last Thursday, and then the conclusion will be the last three episodes this Thursday, and it really does feel like a, to me at least, two parts. You know, there's the first part where he's kind of figuring out slowly what's going on, and he knows he has to recreate the dream to find out what he needs to do to prevent the dream from coming true. And then there's the final half, which is this week, in which he wakes up and he has
way more information than it's him trying to. And it's ridiculous, of course.
Well, it is, and it is so funny. And Will Arnett is back, and the great Sharon Horgan is there, and Jack McBrayer new this season, and the cast is just tremendous, and it's very funny. Final question, David: how do you like having hair in Todd Margaret?
Well, I mean, hair is one thing, but a lot of glue on your head to keep that hair there, that's not the fun part.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so believable, too. You would never know.
it's the worst.
Yeah, well, our budget is not we're not getting, you know, human hair wigs, you know, $12,000 things made in Honduras.
Yeah, you're not on a Jennifer Lopez budget. Cop show. You can't have everything. Right. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Todd Margaret is back on IFC Thursday nights. Check it out, and IFC.com, of course. David Cross Tour 2016. Don't miss the opportunity to see Mr. Cross, because he's going to tell you he's touring all the time, but we may not see him again in our lifetime the way he does it. So don't miss these shows coming up in Claremont and at the theater at the Ace Hotel as well. Always great to catch up with you, sir. Keep up the great work. We really appreciate your time today, David.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Bye-bye. All right, that's David Cross. Legend, right?
He's
comedy legend.
One of the most brilliant human beings to walk the face
of the earth. All right, we don't have much time because we have a very busy hour, including we're talking UFC with the former champ Dominic Cruz coming up in a few minutes. But we do have time for a few of your phone calls if you'd like to get in on the show. We'd love to do this feature when there's time. It's called What's Good? And this is where any topic that's on your mind that you feel like we should be talking about, something that's going on in the news, something that's going on in your life, you need advice, you have questions, you have comments about anything, this is your chance to make the show better. 1-800-520-1067. What do you want to talk about? Kevin Abeans, What's Good? Right after this on K-Rock. 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin Abeans Show here on a Tuesday. We'll talk to former UFC bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz coming up in minutes. But first, hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
What's good is the question. Give us a call right now on any topic. We'll squeeze in a few phone calls, and we'll start with Julia. She is on line 2, calling us from Woodland Hills with what sounds like the greatest website ever. Julia, welcome to the show, my dear. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you? Hi, Allie.
Hi.
So this is this website that allows you, in the event that you are raptured, for somebody, you know, a caring atheist or a non-Christian, to come and take care of your pet after you're raptured, because obviously your pet's not going to get raptured with you. And this site actually allows you to donate money, so that way, when it happens, you know that your pet is going to be taken care of.
Okay, it sounds to me like you are telling us this in a mocking tone, as if you're laughing at this, whereas I think it's a great idea.
It is a great idea to raise money, absolutely.
If the rapture happens, what happens to my dog if the rapture happens? Don't I want him taken care of? Don't I want him looked after? I think that's just responsible planning ahead.
It really is responsible pet ownership. But what if you're holding your dog whenever you get raptured? Does the dog go with you, or do you just, like,
drop
the dog?
That's a great question, Julia.
You know, I don't think there are a lot of details. Maybe I haven't researched enough about how the rapture works. I mean, are your clothes just left on the ground and your body is gone, or do you just look dead but your spirit is taken out of your body? I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. But I am glad to know that my pet raccoon or whatever is going to be taken care of. What's the website address again for people who want to check it out?
It's called My Pet Care After the Rapture.
After the Rapture, petcare.com. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Thank you, Julia. Great call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Pablo. Pablo Gardena, line 6, please. This is a big,
hey,
big
doing?
Day.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean? What's up, man?
How are you, Pablo? What's happening, my brother?
I just want to talk about the San Diego Chargers. I mean, the Los Angeles, Los Angeles Chargers coming in town.
Now, Ali, you've been following this fairly closely. What happens today? Something happens today.
I believe they vote on it. And Pablo, have you been hearing, like, what most people think is going to happen, type of thing? that it's
they're talking about that they're going to come down and, you know, they have the two-day conference.
Mm-hmm. But have you heard what a lot of agents are saying, what a lot of insiders are saying, that it's most likely going to be both the Chargers and the Rams, and they will play in Inglewood, and then there's going to be money that will go towards the Raiders for a new stadium up in Oakland, that they will get like a financial settlement? Have you heard that as well?
Yeah, something like that. Something that they're going to go 50-50 or, you know, one's going to be the main team, and it's just going to be like the Lakers and the Clippers.
Right, they'll be sharing a room. It's a venue. It's just so interesting to have no team for 20-plus mm-hmm. years and then all of a sudden at the same time get two teams. But look, the NFL forever has been dangling Los Angeles as a little prize in every city, right? I mean, that's how teams have been getting all these new stadiums built everywhere, is with the threat that they might move to L.A., but it seems like it's finally going to happen. I mean, this is the most positive news we've ever heard in terms of it actually happening rather than just being conjecture. So why are the Chargers your team, by the way?
Oh, man, I've been a Chargers fan since 83, Bolt Nation. You know, I'm just a hardcore Charger fan all the way. Bolt all Nation, right. Baby.
So this is going to be so happy for you to be able to drive, 80 miles less to go see your team. Thank you, Pablo.
Exactly,
appreciate the call.
Exactly. Thank you, Kevin DeBean. You guys rock, baby!
You too, Pablo. Let's do one more real quick, line four. This is Pico Rivera. A great question for Allie from our man Miguel, who joins us. Hey, Miguel. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What's good?
What's good, guys? Good morning.
Hey, Miguel.
Hey. So, with the lottery being as big as it is and all, my question is, what would you guys do? Let's say you guys won, like, the jackpot just on your own, single-ticket winners. What would you do? Not in such a, like, you know, everybody's like, oh, I'd help my family get out of debt, you know, save, help whoever can, whatever. I want to know what's, like, a petty thing you guys would do. Like, what's
like
something
this, like, foolish? What, the only type, the type of thing you can only do if you have stupid money.
Yes, exactly. Like, what's your stupid, thing that you would spend it on?
I'd probably buy being a sex robot.
Another one?
Another. Miguel. Nice.
We'll talk UFC when we return right after this. The once and future bantamweight champion of the world will join us. Hang on, K-Rock. What's good? Allie, I'm so surprised. I'm reading about UFC Fight Night in Boston this weekend, and it says here it's at the Garden, and I always assumed it was spelled Gaden, G-A-H-D-E-N, based on what I've heard over the years.
See what
but
you
it says
did.
Here it's spelled just like Garden, like we spell it. It's going to be a big night. A lot of people have been waiting a long time to see Dominic Cruz, former UFC bantamweight champion, regained the belt. He is up against TJ Dillashaw. They were recently appearing together on UFC Insider. And listen to this tape, and you guys tell me if you think it's going to be a good fight or not.
I think you're scared to talk because you don't want to say what you're going to do because you're scared to eat your words.
All right, man.
So say
fair
it.
Enough.
Tell me. Tell
I don't
me
need
why.
To.
I'll do it right here. I'm going to beat you because I'm better than you.
I would have told you to knock your ass out.
How?
Don't worry about me knock you out. You gotta do it.
You're gonna knock me out. That's how you're gonna beat me? Nobody even hits me.
You're gonna get hit.
How are you gonna hit me?
You got some holes in your game, man.
That's all you gotta say? You got no reasoning. You got no backup. You got holes in your game and I hit harder than you. Those are both opinions. There's no facts behind it. What's the facts you have stating why you're gonna do what you're gonna do?
That I'm breaking records for significant strikes landing.
Yeah, you're a dangerous fighter against stationary targets. Your power doesn't matter if you can't hit something. I'm hit least amount of anybody in the division.
All right, man, I'm done talking to you.
You can't be done talking to me. You're right here facing me, dummy. You got to talk to me. You have no choice. You got nowhere to go. Keep talking.
I think they're ready. What I'm saying is I think they're ready to step into the octagon and have this thing be settled. Dominic, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing fine. What goes through your mind as you're listening to that tape? Was that an awkward moment for you, or is that all part of the fun for you leading up to the fight?
Yes. You know, it's cool about my job is there's really no awkward moments because you always get to handle it. I pretty much can say what I want to say when I want to say it, however I want to, because at the end I can really just fight about it. Nowadays, in the society we live in, we have to tiptoe around our lives trying to worry about people's feelings. Well, in the fight game, you don't have to do that. So it's a beautiful thing for me.
Yeah, you do get a chance to resolve any kind of issues with another fighter. I mean, it's gonna be handled one way or another this weekend. So this is a moment you have been waiting for, a chance to retake the belt. For how long? 4 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I've been just injury after injury after injury. It's been a rough road, but for whatever reason, that's a path I've been dealt, and here I am, you know. It's to me, really, it's just me doing what I've always – this is me. What you hear in those interviews, that's just the type of person that I am. I just let it out. I think really the only reason why it sounds one way to the other is TJ just tries to pretend that he's a nice guy when he's not. I mean, you could hear him break out of his shell a little bit once I started getting under his skin, but he's really trying to hold that back the whole time and play this nice guy act. And I just know so much more about him, and he's just a big fake turd.
Go on. What else do you know? Give us some TJ insight.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm telling you. It's just that. It's pretty much...
He's a big fake turd, Allie. What else do you need?
I heard that, but I need more.
Hey, you brought up the injuries, and I don't want to focus too much on that because what matters is this weekend. But mentally, that's a lot of the fight game, is being prepared and being able to do whatever you need to do to get in the shape that you need to. It has to be so demoralizing, one injury after another, to have your body fail you when your spirit is so willing to get out there and kick ass. How do you mentally stay strong and believe and work hard enough to come back from injury after injury, the two ECLs and the groin and everything else that you've been through? Like, how did you keep so positive through all that time?
Well, part of it is positive thinking, obviously. I mean, that's a needless to say. But really, I knew I had age on my side, so that helped me keep positive. I mean, I hurt myself when I was 26. I had cleared out the division at that point. I had pretty much beat everybody that was in front of me, and when I got hurt, I was just out, and there was nothing I could do about it. Well, over this period of time, you know, I've had to really tap into my brain a lot and figure out what could make me happy besides fighting. That helped me stay positive. So I had to find, you know, new outlets in life, really. I mean, fighting was really a huge thing for me to stay sane, to be perfectly honest. And then when I lost it, lost exercising and all that, you really got to find a new way, new outlets to find peace and happiness in your mind. Because as fighters, we do got kind of a screw loose, most of us. We enjoy inflicting pain or even sometimes feeling pain on ourselves, and that's how we feel alive. So it's when you're in a fight, it's the most alive, it's the most present you can be. And when you don't have that, you have to find new ways to do that. Usually it involves a lot of adrenaline one way or another. But, you know, a lot of things like that I would do. Anything that takes adrenaline, anything that could really keep my mind guessing, anything like my analyst work on Fox really always gave me new strides, new things to work towards, things that I wasn't good at already that I had to get better at. Just always giving myself new goals and things of that sort. Really, that's all you can do is to keep positive, is try to make the best and make yourself evolve. Use the time that the things that I was put through to become better in some way or another instead of become stagnant. That's the key to staying positive.
You are excellent as an analyst. Obviously, you know that. You get raves for every time you're on TV or podcast or whatever. Is that going to be the future for you? You think that'll be your career after you finally do hang it up, Dominic?
You know, what being an analyst showed me, man, was I can do whatever I want. And I know that might sound big-headed to some people or whatnot, but I really didn't have any skill set whatsoever in that avenue before I got hurt. I got hurt and I didn't even know if I wanted to do it. They asked me if I wanted to come on and try it out, and I had no idea.
And, isn't that interesting? I mean, you seem like such a natural.
Yeah, it's like second nature to you.
It's like Cormier, same thing. I mean, it looks like a guy who was born to be in a booth, you know?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that compliment very much. The thing about it is you just kind of I don't know. It just happens or it doesn't. I think that it comes down to having confidence in not only the things that you say, but what you know. I think Cormier believes in himself. I mean, he's a former Olympian. There's only, a half of a percentage of the planet that can be that good at anything to be an Olympian.
Right.
And
true.
Daniel's done that. So I think that kind of gives him some confidence. Well, with me, you know, I have confidence in the things I say because I know what I do and I know what I see, and I have confidence in that. So that portrays over, and people know what I'm saying because I believe what I'm saying. So I think that helped cross over. But really, I just had to practice. And because I didn't have fighting to focus on, it allowed me to put my championship mindset, the things that I do to becoming an elite level athlete, I was able to cross over and use that to become an elite analyst. I just switched hats, but used the exact same mindset.
and that really helped me.
Wow.
This is the voice of Dominic Cruz here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, former UFC bantamweight champion, trying to regain the belt Sunday night at the Garden in Boston. By the way, you can see this on Fox Sports 1. The main card and preliminary is airing live starting at 5 o'clock. You're 30 years old now. How long do you see this going? Like, what is the career trajectory you see ahead of you? You win this weekend, then what, Dominic?
Yeah, you want to know what's interesting about that question? You get that question a lot, especially as a prize fighter. Like, how long can you really do this? That's the beautiful thing, again, about my job. You know, not only do we get to handle any problems that we have with people, but we also get to live day to day. If I woke up every single morning and worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, I don't think I could go in and risk my body and my soul every single day in the gym. I mean, every single day you walk in the gym, I'm training with Ross Pearson, Jeremy Stevens, Teco, Masio, Danny Martinez. The list goes on with high-level elite mixed martial artists. The best fighters on earth I'm training with. And if I walk in there worrying about tomorrow, then how am I going to get through that morning where these guys are trying to kick my head off my shoulders or choke me unconscious or break my arm? You have to learn to live in the present when you're a prize fighter. You have to learn to live in the now. And that's where you find your peace. If you're worried about the past, if you're worried about the future, that's when you start losing yourself. That's when you start having anxieties. That's when you start, you know, worrying about what's going to happen next, and then you lose focus on what matters, which is now. So to be perfectly honest, I don't know what's going to happen from here. All I know is right now I'm going to go in there, and I'm ready to fight January 17th and put a whooping on TJ because I'm tired of hearing him, you know, talk a bunch of fake nice guy crap that's not real.
Well, Dominic, if it doesn't work out being an analyst, maybe inspirational quotes. I mean, you are on it.
Well, I'm just talking.
It's amazing. You're inspiring.
Allie's taking notes.
I am. I'm like, okay, one more and go to the gym and okay. All right.
So Monday is the day to ask, what does the new champion Dominic Cruz do today? That's really, you'll take it one day at a time, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm telling you what, if I learned anything from these injuries, it's that. Seriously, if I could give anybody in the world any advice on how to get through tough times, it's that. Stay in the day, because if I had to sit and think when I first hurt my ACL that I was going to be out for 9 months, and I sat and thought, what's going to happen 9 months from now? Do you know how crazy I would have gone?
Yeah.
I would have gone insane. I mean, I had to think, all right, how do I get through today? Well, today I have to bend my leg 100 times. And then after I bend my leg 100 times, I have to ice. After I ice, I need to try to walk up the stairs to go to the bathroom. And it's one step at a time, man. And if I didn't do it that way, I wouldn't have got through it. So
well,
it just really trained my mind to think that way.
Well, that is really – that's interesting to hear from you, a guy who's lived it, and we appreciate you sharing that advice and that experience with us. And I know it was great to come back in September, but nothing like how it's going to feel on Sunday night in Boston at the Garden. Good luck. Congratulations on you know, coming back this far. The fact that you're even able to fight again and fight at this level is amazing. We wish you nothing but the best. We'll be watching Fox Sports 1 this Sunday night. Thanks, Dominic.
Thanks so much, guys.
You bet. Hey, Brad Williams in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Yes, sir.
Are you aware that it's raining, Ben?
I'd say go away, but you're already in Seattle.
I'm already away, yeah. It is raining, Ben, which means that Petros is going to be joining us with the Bachelor Report coming up just after 8 like we do on Tuesday mornings. And here's a quick heads up for you. Just after 9 this morning, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Clippers versus the Sacramento Kings at Staples Center this Saturday night. We are looking for you if you are a big Clippers fan and you want to be there. I love when we do this. We're going to give you an hour's heads up, an hour's notice right now, because we'll be taking calls 60 minutes from right now looking for your Clipper fan songs, something that you can call and sing to us over the phone about how much you love the Clippers, how much you want to go to this game this weekend, whatever. It can either be an original number, something that you've just written up, or you can take an existing song and parody that if that's what you want to do. So your Clipper fan songs to win tickets for this Saturday night game against the Kings. And by the way, except for the Warriors, no one in the NBA is hotter than the Los Angeles Clippers, so a chance to see them in person Saturday at Staples is going to be super fun. So 1 hour from right now, we want your Clipper fan songs. First, though, here's what the Showbiz Beat. Not Ralph Garman, but Brad Williams.
Mini Ralph Garman.
Right.
Yeah. I still have the leather jacket. Bought it from Baby Gap, but it doesn't matter. It's still legit.
Sure.
Me a leather jacket. Anyway, let's get to some showbiz news. You guys watched the Golden Globes. Did you like
Yes.
it? Did you like Ricky Gervais?
I thought Ricky was fine. Allie, your complaint was there wasn't enough Ricky Gervais.
I thought there should have been more. I felt like
he vanished for
right
like 45 minutes at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Then gone. Yeah. I say more Ricky Gervais.
Well, I love Ricky, and one thing I love most about him is how he responds to people that don't like his material.
Mm-hmm.
And he just responded on Twitter to a lot of people that said when he made the Caitlyn Jenner joke that that was a transphobic moment. I believe the joke was, I've gone through a lot of changes this year, not as much as Bruce Jenner. And they're saying that's a transphobic joke. And
he took a lot of criticism for that, for people who say we should be like we are past making gay jokes because there's nothing funny about somebody's sexuality. We should be past making trans jokes. A lot of people were very critical of that.
Yes. Well, he's tweeting back at them and saying, suggesting a joke about Caitlyn Jenner is automatically transphobic, is like suggesting a joke about Bill Cosby is automatically racist. And he also tweeted out, you have every right to be offended, just don't cry when no one cares.
He is big on saying that nobody has a right to not be offended. And he's right about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, listen, I get that it's comedy, and as a comedian, I understand that I'm not batting 1,000 with my jokes. You guys know not all the jokes work, but that doesn't mean that just because a joke didn't work or you didn't find a joke funny that now we should stop making jokes. We should stop talking about a topic. Listen, Caitlyn Jenner is in the public lexicon. She's out there. So she's a target just like anybody else is. Mm-hmm. Anyone else, any public figure puts themselves out there to be ridiculed. So I say, good on you, Ricky Gervais. Stand up for the comics.
It's also true that it's okay if people have a different sense of humor from you, too. There's no right or wrong thing to laugh at. You laugh at what you think is funny, and I think that gets lost sometimes. People think if it's not funny to me, it shouldn't be funny to everyone or anyone, and that's just not true.
And actually, if you break down the joke that he said, it's less of a joke and more of a statement of fact. I went through some changes, not as much as Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner went through some changes. Now is Caitlyn Jenner. That's a statement of fact. It's not really a joke. He doesn't say that it's wrong for what she did or what she went through. He's just stating it. So I don't know why people get so uptight about these kinds of things. If you want to see more offensive, possibly offensive material, come out and see the taping of my special January 16th at the Alex Theater in Glendale, California. How's that for a plug?
Nice.
It's Tuesday, so that means new releases on DVD today. Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension is out today. Hotel Transylvania 2, and also winner of the best comedy at the Golden Globes, The Martian. Ho-ho! Did we have some fun when The Martian came out? Hilarity ensued.
Well, what's funnier than an astronaut being stranded on a planet all alone?
Ho-ho! Amy Schumer had nothing on that. Oh. Train wreck. That's not a comedy. The Martian. That's where I go for my humor. Ridley Scott. He knows himself some comedy.
Sure.
Everyone knows that. Celebrity birthdays. Howard Stern is 62 years old today. I've been getting some flack on social media for how I'm pronouncing this guy's name, so let me try to get it right. Rage Against the Machine singer Zach De La Rocha is 46. I was saying Rocha. Apparently it's right. Rocha. And Naya Rivera is 29. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter patter on the show Biz Beat.
There's a band I miss, Jet, on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. I'm trying to figure out how his night went last night. He's got the radio show. Mm-hmm. Then he's got 3 hours of college football to watch with the national championships game, plus 2 hours of The Bachelor to watch, plus he's married with a bunch of kids at home. Like, how does he do it all? Have you slept at all since yesterday, Pete?
It's been a rough ticket. I was not told that Ralph was sick, so you know, I had to pull these clips by myself and tell you guys, and I'd only told them to pull two clips, and they wanted more. So I am already playing from behind this morning. But, yeah, okay. I watched the game, and I did The Bachelor.
That's unbelievable. Now, I do want to get to The Bachelor Report, and, of course, a lot of people look forward to it every Tuesday morning at 8. We recap The Bachelor so you don't have to watch. But
my
canteen
just slapped me in the face to tell me he's still tired. I don't know why he can. If he's still tired, he should just still lay there, you know?
Right, exactly.
That's what I was telling him.
Just briefly, P, I don't want to miss this opportunity since we have you on to talk about the brilliance of Alabama's onside kick last night. I mean, I know they practice it and they practice it every week, but talk about the right play at the right time against the right squad. Didn't it blow you away?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it called before. I mean, to call it on the national championship game is pretty bold, but you also have a couple of weeks to figure it out. You know, there were a lot of wrinkles in Alabama's game plan last night, you know, getting that tight end involved who hadn't had a touchdown catch since 2013, and he's one of the best players in the draft coming out. You know, he's going to be a first-round pick. So they did a good job with that. But that onside kick, you know, you can scout for that, and people can kind of fall asleep. And that happened to me once at Washington State. I was a frontline guy on the kickoff return. And just one time, randomly, the ball just hit me right in the face. You know, they
well, that explains a lot about the way your face looks.
Yeah, well, I've been hit in the face many times before that. But the point is, you can fall asleep and they can just, you know, find you and get you. And that happened last night with the Alabama situation, and it was really – they're a well-coached football team. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No.
They're one of the best.
Of course not. And Clemson, you can believe me, for the rest of time, the Clemson return unit is going to spread out a little more than what they did last night. They won't make that mistake again, that's for sure.
Well, all right, speaking of balls to the face.
Yes, indeed. Let's get into the basketball
Nobody
report.
Nobody took any balls to the face last night.
Oh. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man. And they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah. Crying, hallelujah. Girls crazy, hallelujah. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
I didn't watch a minute of the show last night, but I do know from being on social media that Lace is crazy. Chris Harrison looks ridiculous in a sweater vest, and why is Ice Cube in my hot tub? Those are the three questions that seem to be asked last night.
All right, well, where do you want to start?
Well, you tell me, man. You saw the show. How was it? The most dramatic Bachelor ever?
No, it wasn't the most dramatic ever. Like we said, we're still pretty early. Girls are starting to catch feelings. The competition is getting hot. This was episode 2, so they're still in Los Angeles, which means they haven't left the country yet, which means they still have some African-American girls hanging around looking for a shot. Usually they don't get out of the country. But we'll see what happens in this situation. Now, speaking of African-Americans, you have two guys promoting a movie. I think a couple of years ago it was Jimmy Kimmel promoting his show.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an episode. I don't remember who – no, it was Amy Schumer last year.
Okay.
Who did a great job. So they get some serious star power. And this year it was Ice-T and Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's hands are way bigger. Or excuse me, yeah. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, they're very different people.
They both act and rap.
Okay, all right. So Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. So what do they do in the hot tub with the ladies?
Nothing. He just goes in there and, like, they act like he farts, and then they leave. It's so stupid. First of all, Kevin Hart's hands are way, way bigger than Chris Harrison, which is amazing.
Dear. Here we go.
I mean, no, it's amazing. I mean, you should. They shook hands, and his hand, it was like Andre the Giant shaking hands with a baby. And Kevin Hart is so small. You know, you guys have had him there in studio, so it's an amazing phenomenon, the hands of Harrison.
Yep.
Anyway, they were doing a crossover promotion with the show, and what I really thought was Ben the Bachelor just doing a great job of promoting both guys. I mean, he really was happy to see Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. Here's the clip.
If I could make out with Ben on the date today, that would be...
No, the one from Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
Yeah, they're on the same file.
Yeah, I just gave two clips.
Okay, here it is.
And they told me...
All right, here we go. We got your clip.
Kevin Hart is an amazing comedian, and Ice Cube has done everything from acting to rap.
Wow. He sold that.
He really did, man.
Once again, Kevin Hart is an amazing comedian.
Uh-huh.
And did you know that Ice Cube has done acting and rapping?
And rap, right, exactly.
Do you know who else has acted and rapped?
Kevin Hart?
Ice-T?
Ice-T, yeah.
Point. Yeah.
I mean, come on, NCIS.
All right, is Ben not bright? Is that what's happening here?
Who, Ben?
Yeah.
Well, he uses the word incredible about 20, 30 times every 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then amazing is about 15 times every 5 minutes.
All right.
And appreciate is about 7.5 times every 5 minutes.
All right, so he's got his go-tos.
So he's wearing out his vocabulary. We're talking about a high school football star from Warsaw, Indiana. He's a simpleton. So, yes, he's kind of an idiot. And that's the best they can do now is just get well-meaning, dumb guys from the Midwest who are going to look at these girls like Cocker Spaniels and at least try to be nice. But it's hard to be nice. You know, you guys were talking about Lace. Lace is crazy. We can play that clip. She wants to be awesome. She is not. She sucks. She has a little tiny upper lip. She looks kind of stunning, but when you get up close to her, you can see she's got a little bit of the crazy eye. And here she is laying out her game plan.
If I could make out with Ben on the date today, that would be fantastic. I am not a crazy girl at all. I am so excited. I finally get a chance to get a rose and then get the ring. Oof. I want it all.
Is she wasted or does she just talk like that?
She talked. She was wasted last week and she talked like that. She seemed sober and she still talked like that. Now, last I saw she was trying to impersonate Rosanna Dana to him, and it just didn't go well. And she was very, very upset that things were very awkward between her and Ben. And she did ask a very poignant question, which was, will Ben ever know about Lace?
She was referring to herself in the third person?
Like three or four times. Will Ben ever know about Lace? I don't know if Ben will ever know about Lace. Will Ben ever know about Lace? And I don't know. He kept her, but she's kind of, I don't know. She's sort of teetering. The person that really stands out to me is former Austin news anchor Olivia, a cocky hammerhead shark of a woman with a trout mouth. And we're talking about one of the biggest mouths I've ever seen, a mouth-to-lip ratio that could just suck all the plankton up in the Indian Ocean. I mean, just a really creepy-looking girl, Olivia.
Go on.
And she is the manipulative, like, I'm in, she got two roses already, walking around telling everybody that she's in, she's the wifey, she's very, very possessive and has already taken ownership of Ben. And you're starting to see that develop as a groundswell in this situation. So we have the structure. We have the foundation of the building for drama. But the drama isn't quite there yet.
Okay. All right, Pete, you mentioned some potential villains here. Who's the hero of the batch? Who's the girl that you find yourself crushing on a little bit?
You know, I like that redhead that looked like Amy Adams that they sent home. I like the virgin Becca, who is from the other season with Chris Soules.
She's still on, though? Becca's still on?
Yeah, she's still
there.
She's
your girl?
Becca's still there. She's an attractive girl. There's an African-American girl from his season who's a bartender in Chicago named Amber, and she seems like a generous and giving woman in many ways.
So well, the reason I ask, Pete, is these shows are tough to watch unless you have someone to root for. So as long as you've still got some skin in the game, I feel like we can count on you and your enthusiasm for the season.
Is for people to get really upset and freaked out, and I root against people. I root for people to be humiliated, and that's how I watch a show. And right now, I'm looking for Olivia, the girl who thinks she's smarter than everybody because she's been a news anchor in Austin because she reads off a prompter, and she is so freaking fake and so annoying, and I want her to fall to pieces. That's what I'm looking for right now.
All right. Well, I hope you get your comeuppance, and you'll be doing a longer version of The Bachelor with your friend Matt Money Smith this afternoon. What, you do that at 5 o'clock at AM 570, right?
Yes, yes. And in the end, Mandy, the crook-nosed dentist, the one with the really sharp features.
Right,
yes.
Right.
She was sent home, and he sent home this girl, Sam, from Florida, because they went to, like, a sex test doctor, and he said, and they made him smell all the girls in a blindfold, and he said she smelled sour.
What is going on?
It's very embarrassing for her. So
they're now smelling the girls on The Bachelor now? That's a thing?
Yeah, they went to like a sex doctor and smelled everybody. And there's this one girl, Jubilee.
Okay, now you're just making stuff up.
No.
There's no one named Jubilee on the show.
Come on.
You're going to feel bad. Her title is as a veteran, because she was a veteran. She fought in Afghanistan, I guess.
Okay.
She was also an orphan.
Oh, wow.
Now, she does have a stripper name, but her occupation is just veteran. And I don't think, I mean, I respect the veterans, and I love people that serve the country, but I don't know if that's a job.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
There's two twins, and their occupation is just listed as twin. And I didn't know you could get paid doing that, because, you know, for years on The Bachelor, it's been like, investment banker or, cosmetologist or something. And this is I think we're reaching the end of the dignity.
I think so. Twins and veteran. That's awesome. All right, P, we'll look for you this afternoon on AM 570. Always a pleasure to catch up. Thanks for the time. This has been The Bachelor Report.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Want to give you a chance to see some big-time NBA action up close and personal at Staples Center. Clippers versus Sacramento Kings this Saturday night. If you are a Clippers fan, we want you to sing about it. We're looking for your song or your rap about the Clippers. You get to make it up and perform it for us just after 9 o'clock. So we'll open up the phones in just a few minutes to get you on the air. We've had good success, I think, Allie, in the past. I've been very impressed with our listeners and their mad rhyming skills.
Well, not only that, some people add their own instruments and everything. People take this very seriously.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. However you want to perform that song for us, we'll be looking for you just around 9 o'clock this morning to win tickets for the Clippers this weekend. That'll be coming up. We'll give you the number. All right, Powerball tomorrow. You had an update. Oh, hold on. Let me get the thing here. We're all watching the jackpot grow, and I just heard from Allie.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
What's the latest, Al?
$1.5 billion, and it will probably go up even more.
There are a lot of people who will tomorrow buy their tickets.
Absolutely.
And the jackpot will continue to grow, and everybody is looking for that edge. Even though millions and millions and tens of other millions of people are buying tickets, people still think there are things that they can do, there are ways that they can play to give them more of a chance to win this game than everybody else. Either where they buy the ticket or how they choose the numbers or how many tickets they buy. Everybody's got a theory. They had an expert on Fox TV a couple of days ago. In fact, we've had this guy on before, and I don't really know what to think about him because he doesn't sound like he's telling me anything that makes sense. But on the other hand, he has won 7 lotteries, he says, of sizable amounts, not the $2, $10, $20 lotteries, 7 actual pretty good sized jackpots. So does he know what he's talking about? You be the judge. Here's Richard Lustig on the Fox Channel.
Well, this is what always happens, is that you have people who never play or just play once in a blue moon. And now all of a sudden the jackpot starts to skyrocket and starts to skyrocket and gets higher. Now all of a sudden all these people come out of the woodworks and they all want to buy tickets for tonight's drawing. So the question they ask is, so what can I do? What can I do to give myself a better chance of winning? It's like, well, hold on a minute. Let me get my magic wand out, and I'll wave it over your head, and you'll win. There is no last-minute one particular thing that you can do to increase your chances of winning, except...
Well...
Oh, give it to me!
What do you think he's going to say? Except...
Buy more tickets?
This is going to sound bad, but it's the only answer. Buy as many tickets as you can afford. And that's the key to this whole thing. As you can afford. Don't get lottery fever. Don't spend money you can't afford to spend.
All right. Here's my question about that. And that is, if the odds are 1 in 292 million, which is the number that's been bandied about the last couple of weeks, right?
Right.
If you buy another ticket, aren't your odds 2 in 292 million?
It would appear that way.
Statistically, is there any difference between 1 and 2 tickets? Statistically, is there any difference between 1 and 100 tickets?
No.
When you're talking about odds that long.
Why does he want us to be poor? He wants us homeless? Something's off.
So Richard Lustig didn't have much to say in terms of one time. If you're a person who's just going out and buying one ticket, he didn't have a lot to offer. His thing is, find numbers, play the same numbers, play every lottery all the time. He's got more of a long-term strategy to win. I'd be interested to hear what our listeners have to say. If they've got a theory or a thought on how to better increase your odds to win the Powerball tomorrow night, I would be curious to hear what you have to say. If you've got a system that you believe in that you're willing to share, I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now. We'll put you on the air in a minute. And we found out yesterday that Beer Mug knows how to win the Powerball.
Well, obviously.
Because, right? Look, he's still working at K-Rock, so clearly he's figured out how to win the Powerball. So we're going to hear from expert Beer Mug when we return, and also your calls if you've got any last-minute Powerball tips before the drawing tomorrow night. 1-800-520-1067. We'll come right back on K-Rock. Powerball fever. $1.5 billion. That would buy a pretty sweet sex robot, Allie.
Yeah, it would.
I think you're right about that. Let's go back to lottery expert Richard Lustig on the Fox Channel talking about what to do, how to win.
And you tell us that the most frequently drawn numbers in Powerball winners are 8, 54, 14, and 39. Why is that?
There is no rhyme or reason
to
that.
Nutty.
And it doesn't matter. People are hung up on how do I pick the best numbers? Odds number, even numbers, numbers that come up the most, numbers that come up the least. None of that matters. Remember, a number does not win the jackpot.
Well, you are the authority on this. You've won the lottery 7 times. Richard Lustig, thanks for your time.
I don't think he had much for us.
No.
Didn't tell you he was giving us too many advice. But I know a guy who does have advice for us on how to win the Powerball. It's time for Beer Mug Explains Things.
Beer Mug is really lame. Beer Mug has no brain. That's what we used to think. But now Beer Mug is so bright. He has the answer. Also, a pretty good dancer. Has the cure for cancer. Beer Mug, come in light. Beer Mug explains things. Beer Mug explains things. Beer Mug explains things. We are dumb dumbs. Come on and tell us how it is. Because you are such a whiz. It's time for explains things.
Woo! Mugs, I have been told that you are somehow an authority on winning the Powerball.
I am the foremost expert on winning Lotto and picking winning Lotto numbers, guys.
I hate to ask because I fear the answer is you've never won the lottery before, but have you ever won the lottery before?
I've gotten a mega number here and a power number here, Powerball number here, and one number with the Powerball number. You know, never the big jackpot, though.
What's the biggest jackpot you've ever won?
On one Lotto ticket, it was $4.
Okay. Then in what way are you qualified to advise on this topic?
Because I know everything, Bean. That's why.
All right. What's your plan? Did you buy tickets for tomorrow night?
I have not yet.
Okay. How many do you plan on buying, first of all? Because that's a real – I mean, look, this is the thing that drives me crazy about the lottery. I'm fascinated with it psychologically. But let's say you go out and you go, I'm going to buy $10 worth of tickets. And then you get to the store and you start to panic because you go, what if the 11th ticket is the winner? I better buy another one. But then I might as well make it an even 20. You know what? 20 is not enough. I mean, how do you know what the right number is to buy of Powerball tickets?
Well, I just go with what's in my wallet. And unlike what Richard Lustig said, don't spend more than you can afford.
Right.
I go the opposite. I spend way more than I can afford.
So count on winning to the point where you put your family at jeopardy.
Yeah, I'll throw a hundo on some quick picks.
Okay,
And that will get me 50 picks.
50, that's right, 50 Powerball, 50
power 50 numbers, Powerball numbers.
Okay. Okay.
And here's the thing. Here's the common misconception that people do. Is like, oh, I'm going to play my birthday and that my birthday and my mom's anniversary and my first kid's birthday. That's bad because right there, you're already limiting yourself from the field and the Powerball numbers. Now, if you do choose to do that stupid method of birthdays, and if you play months, you're taking 57 numbers away from the field that you're not going to get because you're only playing months and from the birthday.
Look, I'm not the expert here, Muggs, but a lottery ticket with just low numbers is as likely to come up as a lottery ticket with just high numbers or with numbers spread all over the board.
Sure, but you're limiting yourself from the overall field.
If you use the overall field and then all the numbers come up low and you've gone all high, you're limiting yourself from those too because you can only pick however many numbers it is. There's always 50 numbers out there you're not picking.
Sure, but you're supposed to maybe do one or two birthdays here and there. But then
okay.
Then you get
so instead of don't do any birthdays, just
maybe
do one or
one
two.
Or two.
Okay.
One
all right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Check. All right.
Okay.
What else you got?
Also, we have there's 44 states in this. So try to travel if you can to other states, get your chances up.
Why does that make a difference where you buy the ticket?
Because you're just spreading your chances out.
You're not.
Spreading your reach over America.
You're wasting gas.
Not if you win the Powerball, you're not.
I can't argue with
Good
that.
Point. Good point.
Look, so ideally, Muggs, if you had the time and the resources, would you go to all 44 states and the District of Columbia and buy tickets in all of them?
100%. Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Even though the odds would be identical to buying the same number of tickets at the 7-Eleven closest to your house.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. That's thing two. What else you got?
And thing three is always buy a hot dog and a Slurpee with your lotto ticket.
And how does that improve your chances of winning with that ticket?
At least you have a hot dog and a Slurpee. I mean,
even if you don't win, right?
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
you have a delicious meal.
Come on.
All right. Let's see what some of our listeners have to say at 1-800-520-1067. I want to start with Tony. He's in Downey. Patrick, you hang on. I promise we will get to you. But let's go to Tony first, line four. He is up with an interesting theory that I think is probably not accurate, but I want to hear what he has to say about it. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
Good. What do you got for us? We want to win the Powerball. Help us.
Well, the lotto with the best odds is the California lotto. It's only like 1 in 42 million, which means you have better odds than Powerball at least. And it was done with a math teacher in college. It's a mathematical certainty. If you play the same numbers over and over and over again, guaranteed, you will hit sooner or later. The problem is there's so many number companies that you play for over a century before your numbers come up.
Just well, that's my problem with your theory is there are billions of combinations, so that's you kind of throw that one out the window that your numbers eventually have to hit, right?
There was a story in the news about a few months ago. Some lady played the same numbers for like 30 years, and she finally hit. Now she's like $7-10 million richer. I mean, if it means being patient, so be it.
Okay, so there's your 30-year investment. Now, is that what you're doing? Are you buying the same numbers over and over again every week on the Powerball?
When I can, when I remember. I mean, I know they'll hit eventually, so peace is a virtue.
But they won't hit eventually in your lifetime, most likely.
Then my kids will be rich then. You'll
okay.
be better off.
Okay.
All right, Tony, all right. Thank you for the call. Let's get Patrick on the line. He is a USC economics professor.
Oh, dear.
Now,
what does he
know? I'm not suggesting he may have more actual information on this than Beer Mug does, but let's hear what he has to say. Patrick, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling. Thank you for holding on, sir.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, so firstly, you cannot increase your odds of winning the lottery. The only way to do that is, in fact, by buying more tickets. Now, what makes this Powerball particularly interesting is that it now actually is worthwhile lottery to play. Generally, you have 1 in 229 million. Your odds of winning. So for most lotteries, your expected payout is negative because you take your $1 investment or whatever dollar investment, and you take your possible winnings of $10 million, $20 million. But then you divide that by 229 million, you're losing. You can expect to lose money in the long run, especially even if you play the same numbers over and over again. You're going to lose money, $229 million, to be exact, before you win your first dollar. But in this case, when the payout is $1.4 billion, your expected value is, $400 or something like that, so which is good. I mean, $400 doesn't sound nice, but it is a positive return.
What do you mean by your – I don't understand. What do you mean by expected value? What is the 400 yeah, – where did the $400 come from?
So the expected value formula is probability of winning times the payout times the winning payout plus the probability of losses times the dollar
value. You lost.
I'm confused.
Yeah, this is why I had to bone my math teacher in college.
Yeah, just
nothing.
To pass, right.
Yeah, I don't
understand. Patrick, how many tickets should someone buy for the Powerball? What about my original question, which is, aren't the odds of buying one ticket and the odds of buying 100 tickets virtually identical statistically?
The odds are on any single ticket are virtually identical. Yes, you have the same probability with every ticket you buy. However, if you want to look at it this way, let's say there's, 229 million of possible winning combinations. If you buy, you're basically eliminating more of those combinations. So by buying 10 tickets, your odds do increase tenfold of winning versus buying just one single ticket. But at the same time, your, odds are still so low that you're not giving yourself a statistically significant chance of winning, no matter how many tickets you buy, unless you buy several hundred million.
Gotcha. All right. And that's what, thank you very much for the call, Patrick. We appreciate it. That's what I want to go to just very briefly. Let's go to Eric, because speaking of buying millions of tickets, Eric in Corona has got this suggestion for us. Welcome to the show, sir. Real quick, what's up?
Yeah, real simple. There's 292 million winning combinations. That's 292 million times $2 that you need to put in $584 million to win $1.5 billion, well, you just made three times your money.
Okay, so what you're saying is what you're saying is buy every combination and you're guaranteed to win, but that doesn't include taxes that they take out. That doesn't include the possibility that somebody else may have the same numbers and you might have to split it. You could still end up with that strategy losing hundreds of millions of dollars.
But when you align yourself with 50 millionaires and you only put up a percentage of it, your odds are still good, sir.
Okay, but here's the problem here, Eric.
Uh-oh,
there's two
counterpoint.
Problems. Listen, if you have $584 million that you're going to spend on Powerball, you have problems in life. Okay, because you already have $584 million.
Really? That doesn't sound like a problem to me.
Right? Well, I want this problem.
You have serious problems if you're going to spend your entire fortune or a good chunk of it on Powerball. Number two.
But hold on a sec. What if what Eric is saying were true, and I don't believe it is, that it was a guaranteed win of $1.5 billion? You no longer have problems. You're making a sound investment.
Well, like you said, Bean, it's not guaranteed one winner. You could split it among five people. Five people could get the winning numbers. And at the end of the day, you're losing hundreds of millions of dollars from your investment.
But Eric said go in with 50 of your millionaire friends and split it. That's the way you do it.
Okay, here's my other counterpoint.
Okay.
Point, counterpoint. You have to hire, who are you going to hire to fill out all those combinations?
It's a great point.
What are you going to get? You need a small country to fill out every single combination.
I am right, dumber so for having listened to all of this.
The takeaway here, Eric, Muggs thinks you have a good idea, but that it's too much work.
Too much paperwork
to win the billion and a half.
It's never worth it.
Thank you for the call. This has been Beer Mug Explains.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Beer Mug Explains Things.
Scott from Laverne writes in, even if you bought all of the Powerball ticket combinations at 2 seconds per ticket, it would take you 9 years to buy all the combinations, according to an article I read yesterday. Well, I don't have 9 years before the drawing tomorrow night.
It's too much. It's all too much.
Hey, Brad.
That's my name.
You're going to be doing the showbiz in a minute, but first let me open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067. This is the moment Clippers fans have been waiting for. We asked you to come up with your own Clippers song. Clippers song, Clipper rap. It can be a parody of another song. It can be something you wrote and made up yourself. We just want you to perform it. Tell us why you want to be there to see the Clippers this Saturday night against the Sacramento Kings at Staples Center. If you're a big Clippers fan, right now is the time to call and earn your way in at 1-800-520-1067. Brad is here filling in for Ralph Garman. You got a big week here. You got your birthday, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
And Saturday night?
I'm turning 32 tomorrow, which is like 79 in dwarf.
You don't have the thing where you die young, do you, Brad?
You know what? Let's just move on to the next topic here,
Pete. That's why we were all having fun.
Come see my special this Saturday because you don't know, man. You don't know.
That is scary. Brad's talking about the Alex Theater in Glendale this Saturday night. He's going to be filming his second special for Showtime. The last one, Fun Size, was great, and it's all new material. You can go to alextheater.org to buy your tickets. See Funny Brad at the Alex Theater in Glendale this Saturday night. That is a fun, fun time. All right, what's going on in the showbiz world?
Well, at my special this weekend, my family's going to be there, my mom and dad. And you know how your mom and dad always support you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're always the ones that stand behind you. Well, not so much for Mr. Robot star Rami Malek. He was on the Ellen Show, and he said that when he lost the Golden Globe for Best Actor to John Hamm, he turned to his mom for, like, some condolence.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, "Well, he deserved to win." So, yeah, you go up against John Hamm. Mom's like, you're my son, and you're my livelihood, and you're my everything. But, I mean, John Hamm. Woohoo!
I don't think there's a woman alive who would pick her son or her brother or her husband or her anyone over John Hamm. I think John Hamm just wins.
This is true. This kind of reminds me when I did April Foolishness, my dad was there. And at the end of the show, I was like, "Dad, what'd you think? Like, I was pretty good, right? I was good." He's like, "You were all right, but man, Gabriel Iglesias, you should be more like him."
Aww.
And I was like, "I could not be more opposite than Gabriel Iglesias." So you want to be slightly overweight Mexican? As a white dwarf from Orange County, that's sort of a far stretch.
Yeah, that's a tough one for you.
Don't know if I can pull that one off. Ugh. Well, and here's big news going on in Star Wars news, Allie.
Yeah.
Star Wars news. Variety Magazine has just posted the short list of actors who are up for the new Han Solo role. For the young Han Solo.
This is for a movie, right? This is one of the standalone spin-off movies. It's going to be the story of young Han Solo.
Yes, and he's expected to make a cameo in the upcoming Rogue One.
Ah.
So they're really getting going. Over 2,500 actors have auditioned. And Variety Magazine says they're down to, like, the top eight. So,
Can I guess?
Sure. Fire
Pop
away.
Music star, Falco.
Nope.
You know, it's no fun if you just spoil the whole list, Bean.
Marv Albert.
Not on the list. Nope.
Dweezil Zappa.
All right. Oh. He is on the list. But anyway.
Professor from Gilligan's Island.
Let's go with people that are alive. You've had like three out of four.
Ronda Ruffy.
Dead.
Oh.
Is it Ronda Ruffy?
Not if Christine has anything to do with it.
Yeah. Have you heard that Christine's trying to kill Dave's dog, Ronda Ruffy?
I've seen the dog. I mean, I'm all for kindness for animals, but would we really miss Dave's dog?
Is that what you're saying?
Would we really miss Dave's dog?
All right. Just now, saying. My question for you, Brad, in all seriousness, is do they want to hire an unknown to play Han Solo, or are they looking at established actors?
Well, based on this list, a established actor.
I would think they'd want to go young at the very most 25, 26, because they want this character to grow throughout the series. So I'm going to go, what's his name, Ansel Elgort?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's a hottie.
Who's he from? What's he done?
The Fault in Our Stars. Divergent.
He's actually on the list.
Well, he should be.
Wow, Allie with the Family Feud points.
You're welcome.
Ding!
Thank you.
Who else you got?
This one kind of shoots me for a loop, but Dave Franco?
Huh.
Oh.
Dave Franco.
All right. Okay.
It's like,
it's hard to picture him being serious. You know, you're used to seeing him in comedies, but he's a good actor.
You know, I hear that at first and I go, hell no. But then you think about it, you're like, yeah, that could work.
I thought that the Miles man was up for it.
He is as well.
Ah.
Allie, two for two.
Come on, I know my Han Solo.
Holy crap. Yes, Miles Teller from Whiplash and Fantastic Four. He's up for the role as well. Also, Scott Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's son.
Well, he's dreamy.
Yeah, he is.
If you see him, if you see his look, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that works. So, yeah, those are some of the names in your top eight being... I'm still trying to replace Kenny Baker as R2-D2. I think I'm in the run. Could someone, like, take out Kenny? Could I, like, Nancy Kerrigan her or something like that?
Wouldn't that be awesome if you got the job being R2?
Yeah!
It'd be so awesome.
Let's do it! Now, while my birthday is tomorrow, other stars have their birthday today. Christy Alley is 65, Howard Stern, 62, Rob Zombie, 51. Rage Against the Machine singer Zach De La Rocha is 46, but I think the reason we should all party today is Melanie Chisholm. You might know her as Mel C from the Spice Girls.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
That's
tell
right.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I want a birthday, birthday, birthday,
birthday. I want to really, really, really want to take a take.
She's 42
Ralph would be
today.
So proud, by the way, that you're filling in and still figured out a way to work in the Spice Girls.
Got to, man. It is my tribute to the leather jacket one himself, Mr. Ralph Garman. I'm Brad Williams, and I pitter-patter on the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, this is fun. You know, a couple of nights ago when we saw on the Golden Globes our little friend Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend winning a globe?
Yes.
What a night that must have been for her.
The best speech.
Yeah, so great. And she's going to join us. We're going to talk to her in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Catch up with Rachel now as a Golden Globe winner. Usually, you know, they win. They're too big to come back on. But Rachel's going to talk to us, so that's coming up. First, though, how about this? A pair of tickets to go see the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Sacramento Kings at Staples Center. It's this Saturday night. Don't forget, NBA All-Star voting is also now open. Let's get your favorite Clipper in the game. It's clippers.com/all-star to cast your vote for your favorite player. But what an experience to see a live game in person at Staples Center. We asked for Clipper fans to call, and this game is called Clipper Fan Songs.
Clippers Fan Songs. Clippers Fan Songs. Clippers Fan Songs is on basketball. Clippers Fan Songs. Clippers Fan Songs. Clippers Fan Songs is on basketball. Clippers fan zones.
What?
Clippers fan zones.
What is
Clippers fan zones is on.
What's going on basketball with Omar? What's happening? Anyone? Authorities? Somebody? All right. We asked for you to sing about your fandom for the Clippers, how much you love them, or how much you want to see this game. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Fats. Fats is on line one in L.A. Fats, we appreciate you being brave enough to come on and sing for the kids. How are you, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm real good.
And you love the Clippers?
That's right. That's right. Clippers looking good. About to turn it up. Billy Crystal in the house.
Okay.
Get that coffee with them.
All right. All right. Is this an original song, or are you going to be covering something for us?
This is original. I'm feeling a little Freddie Mercury, David Bowie-ish on this one.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Here we go. Here's Fats.
Okay. Clippers, whoa. Clippers, whoa. Welcome to Lob City, baby. And then it goes into like a little Barry White kind of...
Wow.
Thing.
Wow. The fact that you're explaining and not just doing.
Yeah, I do like the play-by-play.
Yeah.
Play.
I'm all kind right, of producing the track.
Oh,
as you
okay
go.
I
okay
think we could get some solid cameos. We could maybe get Gutenberg in on it.
Okay, you got a whole rich fantasy life going on. All right, hang on
well,
now, Fats.
Yeah,
you're not
like
technically
a the world, but like a Clipper
no, we got
fan
you.
Right, right, right.
Hang on. Hang on. Thank you very much. He's not technically out of the running because he did perform for us, but he may not win. We'll find out. Let's try Marcus up next, Riverside Line 2. Hey, Marcus, a lot of competition so far, but you're next with your Clipper song. Anything we need to know about it?
Hi, how's it going? I'm excited to be on a little Jimmy Buffett cover for you guys.
Okay, very excited. Good luck, sir.
Wasted away again in Lob City now. Searching for my alley-oop from Chris Paul. Some people claim that this is only a game, but I don't. This is Clipper basketball.
Okay,
Marcus,
there you go. Very nice, Marcus. Well done, sir. All right, hang on. Let's try Ashley, North Hollywood, up next, line three. Hi, Ashley. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning guys.
Got the Clippers versus the Kings. Be there in person at Staples Center Saturday night. What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do a little cover of The Weeknd's Can't Feel My Face.
All right. Great song. Good luck.
Great. I can't miss the Clippers in L.A. because I love them. Because I love them. And I got to be in Staples Center. Got to watch Chris Paul. Lob it over to my Blake Griffin as we watch him dunk the ball. And I know Steve Ballmer's going to have the crowd so hyped that night. Just I know. This I know. Can't wait to see Paul Pearson, Reddick, handle in the rock. DeAndre Jordan, slam it at the rim, but please no free throw shots. Austin River and Big Baby Davis, please let me go, K-Rock. I gotta go. I gotta go.
Look at that,
I
by
mean,
the way.
Almost
wow
a roster in there.
A lot of work went into that, Ashley. Well done. All right, you hang on. You had an hour to do it. You used that time wisely. That was terrific. All right, let's try one more. How about Michael in Covina? He's on line four. Hey, Michael,
hey,
welcome to the Kevin Meacham.
Hey, what's going on? I have 5 minutes to do this.
All right, well, look, you may just have so much natural talent that you can't help but being great, but I got to be honest, Ashley seems like the one to beat, but let's hear what you got.
All right, yeah, she was really good. Okay, here we go. Clipper Nation's here to stay. Only Golden State stands in our way. We have an owner who's not a stoner, a coach who's a doc. Now get off our job, K-Rock.
All right. It sounded like you dropped the mic right there at the end, man. That was my favorite part. Michael, I got some great news for you. You were on the phone on hold listening to Ashley win tickets for the Clippers for tomorrow night. So you got to feel pretty good about that. Let's go to Ashley real quick. Hey, we want you at Staples Center against the Sacramento Kings this Saturday night, okay?
Oh, I'm so there.
You did a great job. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Amin Show, and thanks for your Clipper fan song.
Clippers fan songs. Clippers fan songs. Clippers fan songs is on basketball.
Let me take you back to Sunday night. We're all watching the Golden Globes, and not that we had anything to do with the success of Rachel Bloom's My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend TV show, but I felt like, hey, I know that dude. And I was so rooting for her in this category. Weren't you, Allie?
Yeah, but I said, hey, I know that lady.
Right. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's fine, too. Yeah, she's been on the show a couple times as a YouTuber, and then when the show debuted, and then the best performance by an actress in a television series, music, or comedy. They call out Rachel's name. She bounds to the stage, and this happens.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh! All right. Guys,
I thought a heart attack was happening. I thought she's not going to get through this. She's going to collapse. It's going to be outrageous.
Am I here?
Hi, Rachel.
Yes, you are here. Oh. Hi, Rachel.
Oh, I didn't know if I was like waiting to say anything. Hi, it's me.
Hi.
Rachel.
It is you, Rachel. Congratulations. Golden Globe winner, Rachel Bloom. So at the start of that speech, as you hear it back now and as you watched it back, I'm sure, when you finally got home after all the parties on Sunday night,
can you even
remember what was going through your head as you were up on stage going, you guys?
I was just stunned. I mean, I think that, like, you know, you picture these moments and you think, like, oh, what would I do? What would I say? And, like, you know, there are definitely moments in the shower where, like, you're like, oh, this is, like, how my face would be, because, like, I'd be so – but I think I didn't account for, like, how actually, like, stunned and overwhelmed I'd be. And I don't remember much of the speech, but I do remember the beginning just, like, trying to, like, level with everyone as people. I do remember that.
Well, I think it's important to also let people know the emotional roller coaster you were on for years trying to get this show on the air.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the whole thing's been a roller coaster because, like, you know, first of all, I was doing YouTube videos for 4 or 5 years to varying levels of success. I was always really proud of them. And then I pitched 2 musical television shows, the course of that 4 or 5 years that no one cared about, which is, like, whatever. It's hard to sell a musical television show. And then Aleem Rush McKenna, my co-creator, she saw one of my music videos, and I get an email saying, like, and Aleem's one of the top screenwriters in Hollywood, and I got an email saying that she wanted to meet with me to discuss creating a musical television show. And, like, that was the start of this roller coaster. And the second I started working with her, I, like, kind of couldn't picture, like, creating anything better, because she's just such an amazing writer, and I've learned so much from her. So we made the pilot with Showtime, and then, you know, they unfortunately passed, and it was such a wave, because we were so proud of the pilot we made, and then we got the news of the passing the week I got married. Oh. So then I got married, and I went home, and I was like, what's my life going to be now? Because the show was so the fruition of everything I had been wanting to do with the music videos and with musical comedy, and was so much better than something I could have ever created on my own. And then, you know, you send around this pilot that you're really proud of to all these networks. I mean, really, every single network. Aleem and I always said we just wanted to make the show. We would have made the show for, like, a new streaming channel on someone's toaster. Like, we just wanted to make the show, and we sent it to every single place. And no one, I don't know, got it or liked it or whatever, or thought it was too risky. And then Aleem saw, so I really mourned the show. I mean, there was a day where I said in the speech, you know, I think we got 6-7 passes in one day. And, like, I went home and I cried. And I remember staring at my husband and saying, what's going to happen? And I said, how are we going to be able to afford a house? Because I thought the show was maybe going to series.
Dead.
I was, like, planning on buying a house. And I was like, what am I going to do for money? And anyway, I just remember I really mourned it. And then Aleem saw Jane the Virgin and was like, CW is really doing some new interesting stuff with strong female leads. And we met with them and had a great meeting, but I still didn't know if it was real. And then, I mean, 2 days before we ended up getting ordered to series, we heard we were being considered for fall. It happened. So, like, there was nothing happening, and then everything happened.
Well, look, it's so hard to get a TV show on the air. Everybody knows that. Anyone who ever gets a show on the air will tell you that it's just a miracle. It's hard work plus luck plus circumstances plus a lot of things that are out of your control. So you finally get on the air, and the critics love you from day one, which was great because it's a quality show. It's a great show. But even having said all that, getting nominated for a Golden Globe wasn't even on your radar. Even when you were nominated, I'm sure, Rachel, you knew that you were technically eligible to win it, but you didn't expect to win it on Sunday night. There's no way you thought you would, right?
No, I mean, No, first of all, I'm nominated with, like, the most talented people ever, and I was saying, like, losing to Lily Tomlin is almost as much of an honor as winning a Golden Globe.
Of course.
Losing anything to Lily Tomlin.
Jamie Lee Curtis and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Losing to any of those people, I would be proud to say that I lost a pie-baking contest to them. You know, like, they're just so, so talented. I mean, the one thing that occurred to me was, like, well, the Globes likes newcomers, and they like supporting, like, new shows and new voices and new talent. And then it was, like, a day or two before that, like, I started hearing mutterings of, like, people maybe predicting that I'd win. And that's when I started to get nervous a lot. But, no, I mean, the day I got nominated felt like I won. I mean, really, at that time, it felt just as good as winning. And I want to go back to something you said earlier about how hard it is to get a TV show on the air. You know, when I was talking in my speech about how we got rejected by so many networks at once, that's after we had the privilege of making a pilot,
right,
and got to send it to the heads of networks. You know, like, people were saying, like, oh, you talked about rejection in the speech, but, like, even getting to shoot a pilot is such a huge accomplishment. Even selling a script to a network is a huge accomplishment. Even the fact that I got to get rejected by so many places, the very act of saying I was rejected by X, Y, and Z is in itself an accomplishment. I mean, so many talented people are out there who don't get their stuff even seen. It's very competitive. It's very hard. And, you know, we had that one person who happened to be the head of a network who believed in us, and it makes you realize how much good work is being created that maybe doesn't see the light of day, and how when you're a working actor, or more so a working writer in Hollywood, a lot of your work, you know, your parents ask, what do you do? You say to someone who isn't, like, in the quote-unquote industry, like, oh, I'm a writer, and they say, oh, what movies have you written? And you're like, well, I have a project with Paramount, or, like, well, I had a script with Universal, but then it fell apart. Like, so much of the job is stuff that never sees the light of day, and stuff that's amazing that never sees the light of day, because ultimately we're all just flawed people making flawed decisions. You know, we're all just bags of meat trying to stay alive on this earth.
That's my takeaway. And I'll tell you something else, Rachel. I'm so glad you explained it the way you did, because if rejection is the new winning, I have done great with girls in my lifetime.
You have done great work, Bean.
I am a player, man. All right. I know you only have very limited time. You're back at work. But I have to ask, so you win the Golden Globe. Did it feel surreal when you're standing up on stage and you're giving the speech? Did you feel like you were outside yourself, or were you talking and having no, like, conscious understanding of what you were saying, and you didn't know until after you watched it that you said it? How present were you in that moment?
It's like half, it's with big experiences, it's always like a mixture of half being extremely present and then half being outside my body. Like, it's very much like that sharp juxtaposition between the two. I mean, I definitely blanked. I don't think they had this on TV, but someone showed me a video of, like, when I heard my name being called, and I don't remember what I did then, but I saw the video of it, and, like, I full-on made out with my husband.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember doing that. I don't remember doing that at all. I remember him screaming, but I don't remember doing that. So, like, it was a very out-of-body experience. It was crazy and amazing, and it's funny because, like, again, like, you know, I talked about rejection in the speech and stuff, but, like, at the end of the day, I'm the luckiest person in the world. Like, I have the privilege of creating and starring in a musical television show for which I just won a Golden Globe. Like, so, you know, there's rejection, but then there's also extreme luck and extreme fortune. And it's so many things.
I understand why you're saying what you're saying, but let's not discount the talent and the hard work. You absolutely deserve it, and My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is such a good show, and I'm so happy for you. Did you meet anyone that you were so excited to meet at the Golden Globe after parties?
Oh, my gosh. I met so many people I was excited to meet. I met Melissa McCarthy in line for the bathroom, who was lovely. I mean, everyone was lovely. Let me just stipulate, everyone was lovely. I kind of saw my Globe as, like, an excuse to just go up to people and be like, hi,
sure,
I want a Globe. I'm a fan of you. I'm not a crazy person. You saw me make a thing. I spoke with Mr. Judd Apatow. I went up to him. And then while I was...
But of all people that deserve that F, yes.
All right.
I'm so sorry. Larry David walked by me, and
in the middle of, I was drunk, and I was in the middle of being, and I was like, excuse me, sir, one second. And I, like, literally stopped Larry Tate, and I'm like, hi, I just want to glow. I'm a fan. And he was like, ah.
Wait, you cut off Judd Apatow to talk to Larry David.
And I turned, and then I turned back around, and I went, I am so, so sorry. Because here's the thing. We have a painting of Larry David in our house.
Like, I support it. I support all of this.
My husband and I mean, both are God. My husband and I are two Jewish comedians. Like, when we met Mel Brooks a couple of months ago, my husband cried. And so, like, I was just overwhelmed with Jewish feelings of comedy pride. And so, and again, I was drunk.
That's awesome.
And so, that is, anyway, my husband will never let me live it.
What a night. All right. So, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend returns on Monday, January 25th on the CW. You guys are hard at work. Congratulations once again. Like I said, we felt the tiniest bit. I don't want to say ownership, that's not the right word, but just pride, just that we're so happy to be following your journey these past few years, and it couldn't happen to a nicer person, and we're so happy for you, Rachel. Continued success. We'll talk to you again.
Oh, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much, guys.
You bet. Bye. I didn't even know that was Larry David's middle name. That was the surprise to me.
It is to me. So I totally got it. I got it.
Hey, Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we expect Ralph Garman's return tomorrow. He had a little bit of the strep throat that's been going around, so he's out today. Brad Williams is filling in. You can see Brad live on stage and in person this Saturday night at the beautiful Alex Theater in Glendale. That's supposed to be a pretty good room for comedy, Brad.
It is. There's been a few specials that have been filmed there, and now I'm filming my one-hour Showtime special there this Saturday, like you said. So it's a big room, but... I'm going to wear something bright so you can see me on stage. Don't worry. You're not going to, like, lose me. Like, where? I just hear a voice. What's happening?
Well, last time you went with the vest combo. Yeah. Are you doing that again? What are you?
No,
what?
I was meeting with a stylist last night. I'm looking all fancy on stage.
Well, you want to be there in person. You can buy tickets right now. And I know the Kevin and Bean listeners always come out and see you, Brad, when you're local. So I'm sure they'll turn out for the Alex Theater this Saturday night. It's alextheater.org to buy your tickets. And by the way, it's Alex Theater spelled the old-fashioned, old-timey British way, right?
Yeah.
T-R-E.
Yeah, T-R-E. And also, this is my last local show until... summer. I'm going out on tour, so don't I'll see him in 2 weeks.
Right,
like I'm gone. So come on out, and that could be a good way to celebrate the national holiday that it is today. You know, you go out and celebrate on Saturday.
Wait, today's a national holiday?
It is.
What's today?
It's National Kiss of Ginger Day.
Aw, I support it.
Gingers need love too.
Yep.
Go out
even if they have no souls.
That's why they need love, Bean. If you didn't have a soul, you would like some compassion. Right? So go out and find Ed Sheeran. Kiss him.
Don't worry. It's just God punishing you because you're a ginger.
Go on. Go kiss his awkward tiger tattoo that he has on his chest. Go do that. Make love to some gingers, people. Anyway.
Ginger kids. Children with red hair, light skin, and freckles. They creep us out and make us feel sick to our stomachs.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Nope. Don't agree, Cartman.
Today, National Kiss of Ginger Day. Next week, National Hump a Dwarf Day.
Wow, yep. You hope.
You making that up?
No. That's right, that's a real holiday, Allie.
Okay.
What else is going on?
Well, let's get to actual showbiz news, shall we? One of the viral moments from the Golden Globes was when Lady Gaga sort of bumped into Leo DiCaprio, and then Leo felt her, she bumped into him, and then he, like, turned around and act like Lady Gaga farted, like he made that kind of face. It's like, ugh, what the? Like, and he made
well,
that.
Well, he looked surprised that she would, you know, runway bump him as she went by. And she, look, I know that, you know, we just talked to Rachel Bloom. Mm-hmm. There's a million things going through your head. They call out your name. You don't expect it. You're in a haze. You're in a fog. You're trying to make your way to the stage. She wasn't doing anything but trying to get to that stage as fast as possible. And it was almost like whatever's in her way, she's just going to knock aside. And that's what happened to Leo's chair.
Listen, she had a 12-minute speech that she had to give.
But she still said she was speechless a few times during it.
Wasn't that
did you
best?
Notice?
Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm speechless. Let me talk for the next 5 hours. Get to it! Well, I mean, Radar Online is claiming, I don't know if this is true or not, but Radar Online is claiming that the bump was on purpose because Leo was making some jokes about Lady Gaga to his table about how she didn't belong there. But I don't know. Leo seems like a guy that likes to include everyone, right?
I don't know what you're basing that on, but I also don't see any reason why he would be making fun of Lady Gaga.
Listen. I saw some photos of how Leo celebrated New Year's. He, like, rented out an island or something, and he included not just one of the Victoria's Secret models, all of them. He included all of them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, that's just a hero, in my opinion.
Okay. He's about inclusiveness, all right.
Yeah. He likes to include everyone. So, I don't know if that story is true, but it still was a funny moment. You know, I was back there doing some research, and I think all of us have been clicking on just about every David Bowie story that we can, because
I can't get enough of it. And I know we talked about this earlier, Ellie. You were the same way as me. Is just like you can't get enough of reading about David Bowie, not watching videos, listening to music. I mean,
and
I've really gone down a rabbit
hole. Stories yeah. are just yeah. phenomenal.
I would argue greatest comedic cameo of all time in Zoolander. Greatest.
Yeah. Just, I mean, that's got to be up there.
That part was so perfect for him. And as soon as they said, like, who's going to judge this thing? And then David Bowie shows up and he goes, I might be of some assistance. I remember watching that in the theater and the whole theater just went, yeah! Because you knew.
Part of it is just that he is not one of us. Like, he seemed so superhuman for so long
yes.
that you can't believe he's down playing with little people, you know? No offense, Brad.
Hey!
But you know what I mean? I mean,
I'm
the
sure,
regular people.
I'm sure he hung out with little people.
That's not what I meant.
He
I didn't mean
inclusive.
That kind of little people. I just mean, just to see him hanging out with regular people was a surprise because he always seemed like he was, you know, he was better than we were.
Listen, Bean, not all of us can be 6'9" or however tall you are. You sizest piece of crap. But no, I read this fact about David Bowie that was just stunning to me, and I can't believe it's true. David Bowie has never had an album go number one
in the U.S.
In the U.S.
Yes. That is shocking to me as well.
Stunning. Like, you think especially like the glam rock albums, like that would have gone right up to the top, but never had a number one album.
It's funny because I brought this up. I'm looking at it now. Diamond Dogs, one of his great classic albums, went to number 5. Young Americans went to number 9. Station to Station went to number 3. Ally, your favorite, Low, went to number 11.
Wow.
Let's Dance.
Yeah, I would think biggest, Let's Dance would.
Yeah.
One of the biggest, most iconic albums of the 80s peaked at number 4. And the reason that this fact is being pointed out is because David Bowie has the opportunity for his first ever number one album with the album that was released last Friday. Black Star just came out last Friday. Even if you don't go out and buy a copy of it, because apparently only losers buy music, you stream that sucker on Apple Music or on Spotify or whatever, and that counts toward its sales.
I'm sorry, but I'm laughing at the fact that Bean just said stream that sucker.
He's
I'm
down.
Just saying.
Really,
yeah.
Bean?
Was your part cut out of Straight Outta Compton?
First of all,
I didn't see you in that picture.
You're doing yourself a favor by listening to Black Star because it is a great album. I listened to it again yesterday. It's a great album. Mm-hmm. You do yourself a favor to see what was on David Bowie's mind, and especially in light of his passing this weekend, that album is so powerful. And would that be something if it, I mean, look. You know, sadly, David Bowie won't be around to see it. But would that be something if he gets a number one album this week? That'd be great.
So maybe stop posting the little photo montage of all his different looks that go back and forth and do something more valuable and go get the album. And,
spend a little time with Black Star.
And watch the video that he released for it. Haunting.
For Lazarus, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, powerful.
And it's almost like he knew. I think he knew and then...
Oh, he knew.
And then he was just... That was his way of telling the world.
Of saying goodbye.
Yeah. And, I watched that video, and it reminded me of when Johnny Cash released his cover of Hurt.
Yeah. Mm.
And just sort of telling us in their own ways that they were...
Hey, I'm sick and old, and I'm not going to live forever, and, you know, and that's what happens. I mean, nobody lives forever, and you have to accept and come to grips with your mortality, and I think that's what Johnny Cash did in that case. That's an excellent example, Brad, and I think that's what David Bowie did with this album, particularly with this song, Lazarus.
So, death. Have a good rest of your day, everybody. Okay, death. Yeah, leave that. That's a good note to end on, right?
Sure.
Well, like I said, go out and listen to Black Star and kiss a ginger, and then you've pretty much accomplished everything today. Let's get to the celebrity birthdays. Howard Stern is 62. Good on you, Howard. Singer Rob Zombie, 51. Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine is 46. But I think we should all party. We should all not only celebrate David Bowie, but we should celebrate the birthday girl, Melanie Chisholm, or as you know her, Mel C from the Spice Girls. Hit it!
And Brad, thank you for filling in for Ralph today. Have a great time at the Alex Theater in Glendale for your special this weekend, and early happy birthday to you for tomorrow as well, buddy.
Thank you very much. And as we discussed earlier, who knows how many of these birthdays I'm going to have left.
Tomorrow should be a great Kevin Abid show, but what the hell? They all should be great. Just none of them ever end up being great. But I feel good about tomorrow. A, Ralph should be back. He's on the antibiotic, so he should be back, so that'll be great. And B, I think it's the return of the monkey. Don't we get Kevin back tomorrow, Allie?
Supposedly. But I question every return of Kevin's.
As someone who has traveled with Kevin,
yeah.
Don't expect him to be back.
Yeah.
Don't
He's
expect him
back. Probably right. lost at Heathrow right now.
He yeah. might have missed a flight somewhere along the way, but I can't wait to find out how it went. His lifelong ambition to meet his favorite soccer player. We saw a photo. It happened. There he is with Lionel Messi. But we'll find out the story behind that with Kevin tomorrow. We also got more Clippers tickets you can win on the program tomorrow. Beer Mug went to the taping of something called the Dog Awards. Apparently they're taping it for a TV show that airs this week, where he's interviewing celebrities and their dogs. Apparently, we've got those interviews for you tomorrow.
Good. You know what? Good thing Hollywood has its priorities. Brad Williams, I don't have a TV show, but let's get the damn dog awards up on TV.
Got a brand new internet roundup for you tomorrow, and also comedian actor Jay Baruchel as well. That's all tomorrow, Wednesday, right here on K-Rock.